United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
World's over. Line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Are you satisfied with your current level of reproductive health care? Have you been considering making a change? Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley are accepting new patients. Call 330-746-7007 for comprehensive female care that includes fertility treatment, contraception management, and prenatal care through delivery. Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of Mahoning Valley provide individualized, personalized care in a soothing, first-class environment. Call 330-746-7007. Most insurances accept.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is currently 8 minutes after the hour of 12 o'clock, and I hope you're having a good day today. I don't know where you are, but I can tell you this. Here in the Mahoning Valley, it is extremely cold. I don't know where the snow is coming from, because they tell me when it's cold, it's not supposed to snow. So we have snow, and we have chills, and all I want to do is find somewhere and find me a blanket and a heater and a book and a good radio program like Tracy and Friends, curl up in a corner and just chill out, because it is extremely cold here. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229, and today we're going to be talking about guns in the first hour. The second hour, I really want to go and see if we can actually move into, because I have a problem with women in combat. I do. I'm a woman. I am woman. Hear me roar. I'm a woman, and I don't think that's where we belong. I believe we're too emotional for that. But for the first hour, I've got a friend who has come in and he's sitting in studio with me, and his name is Attorney James Denny. And I've known him for a while now. He is a former chairman of the Mahoning Valley Friends of the NRA. He is secretary of Ohio Federation of Conservation Clubs. And I've known him from the Republican Party, but I've known him because I wanted to sit in and learn Greek. And what I did was I went over to St. John's, and I looked around, and I had this friend of mine named Jim inside of class with me, and he knows Greek. I'm just trying to figure out how to say, you know, skitos, which means dog. Hi, Jim, how are you?
Tikanis.
Tikanis. And I'm learning the food down well. And I love the jam. We were in class, and you brought a jam in. It was like an orange jam. Mm-hmm. That was good. Mm-hmm. I haven't been able to find that again, but that was good.
Called glicose, just cooked down oranges.
It was good. It was good. So I have learned to love Greek food and to love Greek people, and Jim is my friend, and I appreciate him coming in to talk with us today about guns. And every time we go to talk about guns, everybody tells me to call Jim. Every time we're looking for an advocate for guns, they tell me to call Jim. Anytime we're doing anything about guns in Mahoning County, they keep on telling me to call Jim. Why do they tell me to call you, Jim? You're a lawyer. You sit in the sidelines. You don't say a whole lot. You're real low-key. But when it comes to the Second Amendment and guns, you're the go-to guy.
Well, I'm actually an advocate of liberty. And, of course, those specific liberties that are enumerated in the Bill of Rights, or I should say recognized in the Bill of Rights, because they actually pre-existed the Bill of Rights. And when I see the government encroaching on those liberties, I get a little upset. It's not my training in law school. I think it's my upbringing. And I think almost all Americans feel the same way. They love their liberty, and they don't want to see the government taking their liberties away from them.
I was watching a clip this morning, and it was from the movie called American President. And I'm going to probably try to bring it up at the bottom of the hour. But it was talking about how violence and guns. And every time we see a something violent like Sandy Hook, all of a sudden they start going after the guns. We have car crashes, but we don't go after cars.
Exactly.
We have drugs going on, but we don't go after them. But all of a sudden, you know, we have it today, an assault rifle ban is going to be put on the table. Yet the person in Sandy Hook used firearm. He used a handgun. I don't understand. I mean, they're not looking at illegal guns. They're looking at guns. They're looking at legal guns that they're going after. They're looking at the average citizen who's not going to go and up and shoot up anywhere. They're not going to go and, they're not going to go and tear up anything. They're not going to rob anybody. They just want them for their own protection or their own novelty. They're not talking about how to get the guns off the streets, off the bad people's hands.
Let me just say, first of all, that none of the proposals that are coming from the administration, the national administration, will do anything to stop gun violence. None of them will. They aren't getting to the root of the problem. And the firearms, of course, that they're proposing to ban today, the types of firearms, don't only include the military-style rifles that have been in the news so much. They also includes handguns, from what I'm reading, certain types of handguns. And it's not really about gun control. It's about people control. There's certain elements in our national government that want to control people because they feel that they are, as Mark Levin calls, masterminds, and they think they know better what's good for people.
Progressive.
Than the people themselves. Exactly. It's part of the progressive movement, which developed around the turn of the century, actually in the 19th century, and it moved to this country. It actually was behind the reincarnation of the Ku Klux Klan in 1915, 1920.
Explain a little bit about that, because, see, now you've brought in something that a lot of people do not know.
Well, the Klan, of course, developed initially after the Civil War to try and keep the black population repressed in the South. And along with the black codes, by the way, which the black codes contained a lot of anti-gun legislation to keep guns out of the hands of black people in the South.
Really?
The freed slaves, yes. And I have something on that, as a matter of fact, but I'll get to that later. But the progressive movement reincarnated as a result, the spark, I guess, was the film that was produced called Birth of a Nation. And this is connected to the Democrat Party and the progressive movement. And it was very racist, but it was also very anti-immigrant. So almost all of the anti-gun legislation that was developed after that was developed not only to keep guns out of the hands of the black population, but also to keep firearms out of the hands of immigrants, the new immigrants that were coming at the turn of the century, 1910 to 1930 or so.
Really?
Yes.
I heard that it was to keep guns out of the hands of blacks. But I didn't realize immigrants were included in that, because we don't hear a lot about that.
Well, you have to remember the Ku Klux Klan, by the way, which was very big here in the Mahoning Valley in that period of time. If you didn't get an endorsement from the Ku Klux Klan, you couldn't get elected to political office back then. But it was focused against, a lot of it was focused against Catholics and immigrants. It was basically a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant movement that was focused against the Italians and the Greeks and the Irish that were of a different faith. And along with it, the concomitant with that was the anti-gun legislation.
Let me ask you this, Jim. You're an attorney here, and you see a lot. And you see the good and the bad of our society. Why is it that we won't be honest about our history in America? Because I believe if we were honest, if we began to really start being honest about our history and teaching it to all people, not selective history going into selective places, people would make decisions based differently, whether it be for their success or whether it be for the success of our nation. Because the history that we're talking about right now is not taught. And I think it should be taught, because if you don't know your history, you'll repeat it.
Well, I guess a lot of it has to do with who's writing the history and who's producing the history books that our children are getting in school. And I agree with you. We're not being taught what actually happened. I mean, there's so much history that one of the things, you know, you hear all the condemnation of the National Rifle Association on a national level. you know, but what you don't hear, for example, is what I was talking about earlier, that back in the post-Civil War period, the NRA was first chartered in 1871. It's, by the way, the oldest civil rights organization in the United States. It was chartered the same year that the Anti-Klan Act of 1871 was passed by the Congress. But initially, the NRA was an organization that was chartered and organized to improve marksmanship and shooting skills so that our soldiers that were being used in wars would have better skills. But eventually, it evolved into a gun freedom organization. And one of the first things that it got involved in was allowing charters to blacks in the South to defend themselves from Klan violence, and including a great civil rights hero, Robert F. Williams, who was a World War II Marine veteran. He came home to North Carolina, and the Klan was engaged in lynchings and beatings and that sort of thing. So he organized basically what was a private black militia down there, and that militia was chartered and were members of the National Rifle Association. And people don't understand that history, and that history is hidden in our schools.
Wow.
Wow.
A. Philip Randolph's father was involved in that same type of activity back then.
Wow. I did not realize it went back that far, nor were they that inclusive. Because if you listen to the pundits, and if you listen to the news today, they consider the NRA a white right-wing group that controls everything and doesn't care about the violence in America.
Well, you know, the National Rifle Association has a board of directors that includes four or five African Americans right now. I believe Roy Innes, Carl Rowan Jr., and Ted Blackwell. Is that his first name, Ted? The former Secretary of State?
Oh, no, Ken.
Ken Blackwell.
Ken Blackwell.
He's on the board of directors of the National Rifle Association.
There are no women?
Pardon?
Are there any?
Well, there's a lot of women, but I don't know if there's any black women.
Oh, we got to get a black woman on the board.
Here we go, Tracy.
My next feat in life is to be on the NRA board. I got to join first.
Yes. We're going to sign you up, I hope.
I don't own a gun. I never paid attention.
You don't need to own a gun.
Hey, Bob.
You belong to the NRA.
Well, who paid attention to the guns and to the gun? I mean, you know, I just got to the gun thing.
Lifetime member sitting here.
You're a lifetime member?
Same here.
How did you get involved with rifles and guns and Second Amendment? And, you know, you said it was liberty, but, you know, guns. I'm. How did you do this? How did your journey progress?
Well, my dad grew up on a dairy farm in Fowler Township, right on Kingsgraves Road. Actually, he was born in a house on Kingsgraves Road and rode the school bus that was drawn by a horse.
Ooh.
He's 93. He's maybe listening to this program. Over in on the west side of Youngstown. Hello, Dad.
Hey, Mr. Denny.
But, you know, he wasn't real big into guns or hunting, but at one point he brought home a couple firearms that he had bought for us kids, my older brother and I, from, I think, one of his customers. And mine was a .22 rifle, which I still own, and I got interested in it. His sister has a farm up in Hartford Township, and we were kids. We used to go out there and just do a little target shooting, a little hunting, and I really got involved in firearms at that point. I got interested in them. Then I started studying the history of firearms and the Second Amendment and the history of the Constitution as a whole, and I'm trying to understand, you know, how our founding fathers tried to protect liberty by limiting the federal government's authority.
You have sons.
Yes,
and
I
I've met them. And
I have one daughter and four sons.
And I've not met your daughter, but I've met your sons, or at least a couple of them. And they're fine men. And you raised them in a home with guns.
Yes.
How do you deal with young people and firearms in your home?
Well, you don't.
Because sons are curious, you know.
You don't hide special. The firearms from them all the time. You familiarize the young people with the firearms. You take them out as soon as they're able to shoot, so that a gun isn't some sort of weird object to them, something that they don't understand. If they get familiar with it, they understand it, they understand how dangerous they can be, and they can understand how useful they can be. then they're not dangerous to them. But on the other hand, when the kids are little and you have little children, and now I have grandchildren coming around the house, you don't leave the guns laying around or someplace where they can access them, because you're absolutely right. Those children, I mean, people think they can put the gun up on the shelf in the closet and the kid's not going to find it. Mm-hmm. The kid will find the gun every time.
Absolutely.
So you can't do that. You have to lock them up if the kids are going to be around. And when I was, when my children were small, I should say, I lived over on the west side. I did keep one firearm accessible. It was a semi-automatic pistol, and it was what I did was, though, I would keep a loaded magazine, and I would put it in one place in the bedroom, and I'd keep the empty firearm in another place, uncocked, so that if anybody was going to fire that gun, they'd have to go get the loaded magazine, put it in the gun.
And put it together.
They'd have to work the slide and then take the safety off. So, I mean, it's a number of steps they'd have to go through, but I don't want to lock my guns up and not have them accessible to me if, for example, an intruder comes into the house. So there's a balance there. I was involved with Police Chief Bogowski and Fire Captain Drew Aurelio in going to different schools in the Girard area teaching gun safety programs.
The number is 347-945-5229. The phone lines are open if you want to join into this conversation. Bob is in studio with me. Hey, how you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good today.
Good to see you.
Good to be here.
You're an attorney, and you deal with all kinds of people. You see the crime. You're from the city of Youngstown.
I grew up here.
You see the crime in the city. And see, my problem with this administration, personally, is that we're talking about the young people that died in Sandy Hook. But last year, I think we had 26 homicides.
26 or 29,
something on that order.
Yeah.
And the year before, it wasn't too much less or more. And they've been doing, my understanding, Illinois has one of the strongest gun laws in the nation.
Chicago particularly.
Yet they had 532 homicides that were gun-related. Help me, where are we missing this?
Well, you know, the socioeconomic causes of young people getting involved in crime, you know, the drugs and all of that, it goes back, in my opinion, you know, it's not really related to guns. It has nothing to do with guns. It has to do with their upbringing and basically making people dependent on the government, and breaking up the nuclear family has resulted in several generations now of young people of all colors being raised with no morals and no direction. And that's what we're seeing out there. You know, these young people, this young guy that went out and fired from his semi-automatic rifle into an apartment building and killed an 8-year-old innocent child on the east side of Youngstown just a few months ago, was out on probation at the time for a firearms conviction. I mean, it's incredible. He illegally possessed that gun. He illegally used that gun. But yet, you know, the court system felt that he was not a threat to society. I mean, that's part of the problem. You know, the lack of, not law enforcement, but the lack of sentencing when it comes to people who are dangerous to society with firearms.
Now, there's a gun spec. You get 3 years if you use a gun in an act of violence.
It depends on what it is. It could be 1 year, could be 3 years.
Unless it gets pleaded down.
No, that's not a gun spec that never got pleaded down. I thought it was automatically mandatory.
They could eliminate it in a plea bargain. It happens a lot.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem.
It can be eliminated.
Yes, I've done it myself. I have to do it for my client. I can't, you know, because I think the guy deserves to go to prison. I'm still going to fight for him because it's my job.
Explain that.
Well, you're a lawyer. You have to represent your client's best interests as a defense lawyer.
And it's my constitutional right as a criminal to be allowed the best defense possible.
And, you know, I've had people that I thought were guilty in court, you know, and I went through the trial, and I found out they were innocent. They were telling me the truth.
Wow.
You know, so you can't always.
So you have to give them fair representation no matter what.
Absolutely.
No matter what, and it's important to have it.
Yes. It's part of our system, our democratic system.
When we look at owning a firearm, because we're getting to the place where we're demonizing firearms and protection. Right now, it is, the word is don't have them, get rid of them, you shouldn't get them, we'll take care of you, we'll protect you, we love you. The government is your friend.
I'll tell that to the American Indians.
I tried to tell them that yesterday, but they're not listening to me.
The disturbing thing is there was an interview with a young lady who wrote a letter to President Obama. She lost her brother in the Sandy Hook shooting. And she made this statement. She felt that the only people that should have guns are the police and the military.
I don't know how old this young lady was, and I feel sorry, you know, that for the tragedy in her life, but firearms didn't cause that tragedy. They had nothing to do with it.
But we won't deal with the mental health of people. We don't help fund that. We cut that funding. That's not important. We will spend more money taking the firearms off the streets than we will dealing with the mental issues.
We don't even
of people.
Take the firearms off the street.
Well, they take them off the people that they tell me there's a gun show Saturday.
Yes.
And I'm going to go.
I'm going to be there. I think I'll be there.
I got to go.
I'll see you there.
I've never been.
Well, you'll find it interesting. It's going to be very crowded, I imagine, because all the publicity the Sandy Hook tragedy has gotten has just created a frenzy amongst people to buy firearms. And, you know, they're going to be out there in droves.
Jim, I've been telling them, I went out to Buckeye Firearms. They actually advertised with us. And I was out in Austintown at their Austintown location.
Tom.
Yes, I did. And he knew who I was, too, by my voice. Can you believe it? And I was in there, and the room was filled with people. And I saw Democrats out there buying firearms.
Well, let me tell you something. This isn't a Democrat-Republican issue. There are a lot of Democrats in the Congress who have A ratings from the National Rifle Association.
Including Harry Reid.
Harry Reid, that's right. And they know which side their bread is buttered on, you know, if they want to get reelected, because their constituents believe what I believe.
We vote.
That's right.
So why is it that Feinstein and President Obama can try to take this issue, deal with it with spin, because they're not dealing with the issue of it?
Well, never let a crisis go to waste.
Thank you. Never let a crisis go to waste.
That's their philosophy, basically. Our president is standing on the graves of these children that were murdered at Sandy Hook, trying to make a political point.
Did you see him signing his executive orders?
Yes, I did.
Who was behind him?
The little babies, mm-hmm. The little kids. But we would have done the same thing. But we wouldn't have signed that one, but we would have had kids behind us. I'm just saying, I understand it, but my question is, if you really care about violence, you know, we have illegal guns on the streets of America. And for some reason, we are not going after those. I mean, I understand gun violence in the inner city. But there are thousands and thousands of young African-American children who've gotten killed with illegal firearms, not legal ones.
Well, what my thinking is, this goes back to the criminal justice system. When somebody is convicted of a firearms offense, like, for example, years ago, I represented a juvenile who was charged with possession of a handgun. I don't think it was in a school. I don't really recollect. But, you know, he got the standard juvenile treatment. You get a slap on the wrist, basically. Of course, it was my job to try and get him that slap on the wrist. But the problem is these are the people that are going to go out and shoot somebody later on. So something has to be done on the sentencing end, not on the enforcement end, because they get caught. And they go to court, and it's plea bargained, and then they walk away many times. Now, there's a federal effort, and there has been, basically at the impetus of the National Rifle Association many years ago, called the Richmond Project, where the federal authorities are brought in, because if you're a convicted felon, you are not allowed to possess a firearm under federal law, not just state law. So a lot of times now the federal government's stepping in and prosecuting people under federal law, and that is a good step. You know, I think they should do both. I think and the reason I have to do that is because the state courts aren't being strict enough. That's how you get the illegal guns off.
Jim, I'm going to have you come back. I'm going to talk about guns today, but I don't want to go too far off subject, but I really want to go back to juvenile justice in America. Mm-hmm. So I want to have you back to talk about that, because I'm trying to figure out how is it that you can have young kids, and right now they're becoming younger and younger that are going into the detention centers, and how you cannot rehabilitate them when you have them there under lock and key for so long. But I'll come back. We'll do that another day. You'll come back and hang out with me.
I want to just mention one thing about the mental health issue. You want to do a break?
Well, I got to pull Matt up, but go ahead.
Well, You know, years ago, there was a way to get people committed long-term in mental health facilities. We had a hospital here called Woodside Receiving Hospital. As a result of certain people, you know, on the liberal end of the political spectrum, lobbying and filing lawsuits, eventually the courts issued decisions saying that you cannot keep people incarcerated or, you know, in confinement.
ACLU.
Because of that. And as a result, Woodside closed, and those people were released. There's a huge hospital down in Lewis County, West Virginia, where my wife's from, called the actually called the West Virginia State Lunatic Asylum.
That's what it
was built during the Civil War, and that's what they named it back then. It's not open now because it was closed as a result of these court decisions. Everybody was released on the streets. This was in the 70s. In the 80s, you had the homeless problem. The homeless problem developed from that. Because
they had nowhere to go.
Exactly. So this Adam Lanza's mother, from my understanding, was trying to get him committed.
And she couldn't.
She couldn't get it done. Because, and even if she had gotten it done, they'd only hold him for 48 or 72 hours, and he'd be back out on the street.
True.
So we've got to do something about that. We've got to reestablish a way to commit people who are severely mentally ill and dangerous to society for long term, and, of course, include due process protections for them while they're in there.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm good, Tracy. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm still trying to kind of figure out in my head how to phrase this, so bear with me for a second. I've been trying, with a lot of these decisions, like through as far as guns go and as far as health care and all these other things, I'm trying to figure out constitutionally if these decisions that are being made and the way they're the process in which they're being made is constitutional in its own. When you're dealing with guns in the Second Amendment, it seems to me like, you know, these executive orders, even the Brady Bill, okay, introducing these things, it's a direct violation of the Second Amendment. I guess my question is, are they delivering these ways of dealing with gun control and such? Is their argument dealing with how they perceive the Second Amendment or how they interpret it? Why are things being able to be gone through and let go without actually going after, like in gun control, the Second Amendment and changing it? Why don't they go directly for it instead of this weird interpretation of it? I mean, is it interpretation? Do you understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah, so going back to... Initially, when the Supreme Court was created by the Constitution, they did not have the authority to interpret the Constitution. And in the decision of Marbury versus Madison, Chief Justice Marshall made a ruling that, yes, we're going to be the guys that are going to interpret what the Constitution means. So, you know, just recently we had two major Supreme Court decisions, McDonald in Chicago and the Heller decision, that reaffirmed that the Second Amendment is an individual right. Now, whether or not any particular executive order or law passed by Congress violates the Second Amendment, of course, is a matter that's going to have to be taken to court and litigated up to the Supreme Court again and for another decision. I'm frightened of that process because the decisions that I'm talking about were 5-4. In other words, four justices of the United States Supreme Court were perfectly willing to amend the Constitution by judicial fiat, rather than going through the process of amendment that's contained in the Constitution itself.
Jim, why do we allow, I'm going to take a break in a moment, but why do we allow this? I mean, I know that the president has powers to do certain things, and I know both Republican and Democrats have done it. Executive orders have been done for quite some time. But tell me, why is it that they usurp the authority of the process and the procedure to push their own agendas, and the American electorate stands back and either is in disgust or applause?
You know, it's interesting. I can't remember the exact numbers of this last election, but my understanding is that the two candidates, Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, each got 60-plus million votes. And, you know, but there were 93 million registered voters who didn't vote.
That's correct.
Registered voters.
That's correct.
You know, so you're right. Some of them are just sitting back because they're so disgusted with the system. And I'm not sure what it's going to take to get people back involved But one of the big problems we have, we touched on earlier, and that is our educational system is teaching children to be subservient to the government and not teaching them about what their liberty means and what the future of our liberty is, how it's endangered.
When I come back, I'm going to talk about liberty and responsibility because they tie hand in hand. And I watched something this morning, and they were saying that if you're going to be free, you've got to take responsibility for the ownership of your freedom. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. A 66-year-old man was rushed to a hospital last night after a shooting in Warren. Police say the victim was shot multiple times. He was found in a yard in the 100 block of Idlewild Street Northeast a little before 9 p.m. Police arrested a possible suspect nearby. They believe the shooting happened during a robbery. A Mahoning County judge sentenced a North Jackson pastor to 10 years in prison for raping a developmentally disabled woman. 59-year-old Ronald Piles was convicted of taking advantage of the woman who stayed at a shelter that he ran. Piles told the judge he is innocent. And a taxpayer has challenged an Ohio judge's decision that a $5,000 fine paid by a former high school basketball coach of videotaped boys in a locker room shower should go to the Connecticut community where a gunman killed 26 people. The challenge was sent to the Stark County prosecutor. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
You're captain here on Flight 746 to Ecuador. A special welcome aboard to Emily Williams and her high school group, now departing on a life-changing volunteer trip. We want to thank you for fundraising to help others and then giving up your school break to help build a village school. So fasten your seatbelts and get ready for an experience of a lifetime.
See how your donations can change the world. Join us on an international volunteer trip for teens, adults, schools, and families. Give. Go. We can change the world. Find out how at WeDay.org.
His hair was falling out in clumps.
Petey stopped eating and all his hair fell out. Mounds and mounds of fur all over the place.
Our hairballs have hairballs.
Our golden retriever, Sundance, he scratched incessantly. There was hair all over. I heard a radio advertisement for Dynavite.
DINOVITE.com.
The omega-3 fatty acids, zinc, vitamin C, probiotics.
There's flaxseed oil, the seaweed, the kelp, the digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Within 2 weeks, the shedding slowed down to almost none. The scratching went away after a few days, and Sundance's coat was starting to get shiny and glossy the way it had when she was a puppy.
Tons of energy, no more bad smells.
If your dog has shedding, dry skin, excessive scratching, Dynavite will solve the problem. The website is DINOVITE.com. Phone number for Dynavite is 859-428-1000.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. It is 44 minutes after the hour, 12 o'clock, and in studio with me, I have attorney Jim Denny. He's a friend of mine, and he is he's an attorney, but he deals a lot with guns and the NRA. And he, what is a conservation? What did you put up here? Let me read this.
Federation of Conservation.
Yeah,
Ohio
what is
Federation
that?
Of Conservation Clubs is an organization that has different outdoor clubs affiliated with it. It's like a coalition. In other words, we have delegates from maybe 15 different outdoor clubs in Northeast Ohio that belong to it, and we get involved in political issues and that sort of thing. Right now, for example, we have a postcard we've printed and we're having signed and mailed to United States Representative Timothy Ryan on this issue that we're talking about, these gun laws, asking him to hold the line because he has an A rating from the NRA, but from his letters, he's been waffling on it now.
No.
Yeah, he's talking about, the magazine capacity issue possibly should be on the table, semi-automatic military-style rifles, that should be on the table. So I think he's going to lose his NRA rating, but we're going to let him know how we feel through these postcards.
So would that include muskets? Because the original military used muskets, so
yeah,
that's
and
a military
fact,
weapon.
If we apply the same standard to the First Amendment, for example, we couldn't be sitting here talking on these microphones because they didn't exist at the time the Constitution was written.
But, you know, we're getting to the point that they are getting that way, that they don't want you to say a lot of things freely. And that goes back to freedom and responsibility.
Right. Responsibility comes the minute I open up my mouth.
It does.
But it doesn't get enforced.
But I should, you know, when I say freedom and responsibility, I believe that I have the right to free speech. But I don't have the right to go inside of a building and yell fire.
That's the standard.
I believe that.
Unless there's a fire.
unless there's a fire. But just for me to go in there and just have some fun and watch people panic and say, watch people run like heck, I cannot go into a room and yell fire. It's the same thing with guns. If you have them, you have to be responsible for them.
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons the National Rifle Association is the number one instructor of firearm safety and the use of firearms. They train more police officers in this country than any other single organization, and they have what's called the Eddie Eagle gun safety program for children, where they have this big mascot-type person dressed up as an eagle, and they go down to, go around to schools, and they put on demonstrations and educational programs about gun safety. And by the way, since they've started that program, accidental gun deaths have dropped drastically in the United States.
When we are a country that is too emotionally driven, and I'm going to get more into this into the next segment, so I want you guys to stay tuned because Jim's going to leave me in about 10 minutes, and he's going to go have lunch and eat and go to work. And I'm going to really dig deep because I have a problem with emotional legislation. And so with the motto in mind of I can't let any good crisis go to waste. We end up in wars where we don't do due diligence as we should. We end up making laws and allowing executive orders based on emotion and not based on logic. Let's look at the law in New York with the magazine clip where they forgot to put the policeman in it.
Yeah. Exempt them.
We forgot to exempt them from that. And that's just not good legislation.
They had to pass it before they read it.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, here we go with a knee-jerk reaction again. Because remember, the health care bill, the budget in the health care bill, they couldn't read it until they passed it. So my question is, how do we, as the American electorate, become more engaged? Because this gun thing bothers me. See, I don't own a gun. I've gone to the CCW class. I got my little certificate. It's been really great. But I still haven't gone out and made an investment. And I found out last night that it really is an investment because it's a hard good.
It's going to be a big investment now.
I found that out.
since the Sandy Hook tragedy, the gun prices have really gone up.
I have found that out. I said I thought I just wanted a little gunny gun. I didn't want to buy the whole shop. It was $700 for a little gun that I probably won't shoot.
Well, the emotional aspect of this.
You can't afford the ammo.
Tracy.
Oh, yeah.
It's really a dangerous thing. But, you know, it's actually something that's been used over and over in the history of the United States. Emotional momentum passes a lot of bad legislation. And the only way you can really deal with it is by educating people and repealing the legislation. That restriction up in New York State that was recently passed.
Yes.
And Governor Cuomo was up there ranting like a lunatic.
That's the one.
Mean, talk about emotion. You know, I don't understand, you know, the people of New York, but the people of New York made their decision, and they need to remove those people that are in that legislature and start over.
Let's back up a little further. Let's back up to 9/11. There's legislation and things that were passed that now an American citizen can be held without due process.
That's not a good law.
Well, it's a big loss, and I think that, you know, those will be challenged in court, and I think some of those restrictions will be found to be unconstitutional if the court decides it right. And that's another danger, and that is, you know, we are have elected Barack Obama for another 4 years, and he may have the opportunity to appoint a Supreme Court justice or two. We don't know. And if that happens, then the balance in the court's going to change towards the progressive side, which means more restrictions and more emotional legislation that will be upheld.
More interpretation.
But what I'm saying is emotionalism is dangerous. When you go into court and if your jury or if your judge or if there's too much emotion, you're not going to get due process.
Right.
Am I wrong?
You're absolutely right. And that's why you get changes of venue sometimes. You know, you get to get out of that turbulent atmosphere where the jury might be tainted.
Is that where they call jury nullification?
Well, jury nullification is different. Jury nullification is when a jury sits there and listens to a case and the law and the facts say the guy's guilty, but the jury still finds him innocent because it's a political issue. You know, they just don't think that that's fair to find a guy guilty.
And I'm talking about just pure emotion.
Based on some of the attorneys
We always work for that.
I mean,
if the guy's guilty.
That's what I mean. It's based on emotion.
But I think
jury nullification comes from emotion.
But I'm saying the simplicity of if you have an emotional jury and it's too emotional, you don't get due process because you want people to make logical decisions based upon the facts of the case, not based upon how you feel.
And due process works both for the people who are prosecuting a case and for the defendant.
Correct.
And so you're right. The emotion needs to be kept out of it. Emotion can take, I think, a proper role in the sentencing end of it, but not in the actual finding.
Even when you have a divorce, emotion is a bad thing during a breakup. Emotion has to be controlled. Because if you find out, and I'm going to go here at the top of the hour, women are too emotional with our decisions sometimes. And we end up making bad decisions based on our emotion and not based on logic.
This came a quote from
hold
an
on,
attorney.
Wait a minute, hold on, because I got to pick up Matt. Go ahead, Matt.
I was just listening. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
This is a quote from an attorney friend of mine. He said that in a divorce, when both sides are pissed off, it was an amicable divorce.
Well, it probably means that it was actually a fair decision. Yeah.
But I'm saying when emotion gets involved into a divorce and you're still living in the same house, you get bad domestic violence cases against people that you shouldn't have done that. And once it's out there, once you put that cow out of the barn, it's kind of hard to get him back in. So I've watched women set their ex-husbands up under a domestic violence based on their sheer emotion.
Well,
I've watched us, get into fist fights off sheer emotion and then get into some kind of trouble when we should have just walked away.
That emotional aspect of it, ties into what happened to Sandy Hook.
Right.
Obviously, the Obama administration and the officials in New York State have played it for everything it's worth, and they've just played and played and played this AR-15 Bushmaster military-style rifle issue as if, that is the problem. Of course, like I said earlier, it's not the problem. And by the way, my understanding is that firearm was not used.
It was in the car.
No, it was correct. No, you're correct.
It was found in the trunk of his car. But where have you heard that on the news? That Bushmaster semi-automatic rifle with the large capacity clip was not used in the Sandy Hook massacre.
One time. CBS or ABC made an announcement almost 35 days after.
Well, there was one the following day on November, is it November or December? December 15th, the day after the actual massacre. On MSNBC, that the police announced that there were four handguns found in the school and that the Bushmaster was found in the trunk of his car and it wasn't used.
So why are we going after this? Where did assault rifles come in with this?
They allowed 30
days. But you have to look at Benghazi. We're coming there today, too. Stay around.
Oh,
I mean, you got to understand.
Don't get me there.
You look at Tim Ryan, and this is not a personal indictment against Tim, but Tim was arrested before election, but his arrest came out after the election. And my problem is how the media plays on our emotions.
It's all they do anymore.
But
you know what? To tell you the truth, that's not something new. I mean, newspapers did that back around, at the time of the revolution and following it, and they were nasty.
Yeah.
But now they have much more authority because they control more in the electronic media. Thank God for the Internet, because that allows us to get the truth out there, because most of the major media is not going to tell us the truth about what happened at Sandy Hook. And what's going on with the assault rifles,
but see, what
so-called assault rifles.
I was watching Demolition Man last night. It came on late last night. And it was this utopia. It was with Sylvester Stallone and
Lloyd Bridges is in that show.
Yes. And
Wesley
Snipes.
Yeah.
And it was about how everything was so peaceful, no one had any guns. There was no violence until a bad guy broke loose. Yeah. And they had to go get another bad guy to get the bad guy. But listening to the way that they were making this utopia of a country, of a place to live, it was almost like we're trying to walk our way into this peaceful living that we're going to be able to control everything and everybody. And that big brother understands what you're doing, and they can take care of everything, and all you need is this loving environment through the government can take care of you, and you can live peacefully amongst your brethren. And they will take care of the control of it. And what'd you say, Jim?
I was just going to make one point before I got kicked out of here.
I'm not kicking you out. I'll just say as long as you like, but I promise you I wouldn't keep you too long.
I wanted to touch a little bit on the the aspect of the constitutional right itself and where it originated. And, of course, you know, the right of self-defense and the right of people to own firearms or weapons to defend themselves against tyranny, not just against the bad guys that's going to break into your house.
For hunting?
It, absolutely not. You know that. You know, I know you're being facetious. But, you know, I'm going to take you back. I'm going to give you a quote here, if I can. Aristotle, 5th century B.C., and what he said was, when the citizens at large administer the state for a common interest, the government is called by the generic name a constitution. In constitutional government, the fighting men have the supreme power, and those who possess arms are citizens. Aristotle understood that if you were not permitted to possess arms, and back then, of course, we're talking about swords and bows and spears, if you were not permitted to possess arms, you were not a citizen. And that's why, and that basically that philosophy is carried through the Enlightenment and to our founding fathers, and everybody recognized that in Britain before, in England before the Constitution was ever even dreamed of, that certain people did have the right to possess arms. Arms, of course, in Aristotle's times were swords and bows and spears. At the time of the Revolution, it was muskets and sidearms, pistols, you know, single-shot
right.
pistols. And now we're talking about semi-automatic military-style firearms. And those are the types of firearms that are protected by the Second Amendment, and we should understand that. It's not about hunting, as was said. It's about fighting tyranny. Even the great Democrat Senator Hubert H. Humphrey said during a campaign in, I don't remember which one it was, he was running for vice president at the time, I believe, that it's even though it may be something that it's hard to imagine occurring, and I'm paraphrasing him, but the right to possess firearms under the Second Amendment is something that is needed to protect against tyranny. Tyranny meaning, you know, from an invasion or from your own government. I know that people who attack
but,
that...
Jim, government is our friend.
You're being facetious, too.
No, Jim.
Wait a minute, there was another president. Wait a minute, there was another president who's hated who made the statement that government is not the solution. Government is the problem.
Right. That
Ronald
was
Reagan.
Ronald Reagan, yeah.
But listen, the government is our friend. You know, are you guys, I mean, what am I missing here? Are you not listening to me?
I'm not.
My callers tell me that I am paranoid.
Well, you know, I'm not paranoid. I don't think there's, you know, tomorrow night the government's going to swoop down into Youngstown and start taking everybody's guns. But, you know, my mother came from the island of Crete in Greece. And she wasn't there in the Second World War. She left in 1938, actually, to come back here. But I read a book by a guy named George Sikundakis, who was a courier for the resistance during the occupation of the Nazis after they invaded Crete. And he was in his village, Asigonia, when the Germans officials marched into the village and sat down with the village mayor and some others. And what the first thing these Germans did was demand that everybody in the village turn in their firearms. Now, 2 years before that, nobody on the island of Crete ever would have dreamed that that kind of thing could have happened. It was as far-fetched as what we're talking about today. Now, I don't, you know, like I say, I'm not a black helicopter, conspiratorially minded type of person, but the best deterrent against government tyranny is the possession of these types of firearms by citizens, and they need to have them, and they need to know how to use them. I see it more as a duty in addition to being
a
right.
Look at it, why the Japanese did not invade mainland United States. Because it was a quote from one of their generals that there'll be a gun behind every blade of grass.
We have 300 million firearms in the United States possessed by maybe 100 million citizens.
Yeah, I'm finding out you NRA nuts, y'all got guns. I'm like, whoa. They're like, yeah, come on out to the range. I'll bring you a gun. And they bring me like a little, I have like their little mini store. Pick one. We'll teach you how to shoot all of them.
Have you ever fired a gun?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And when I got my CCW, they took me out.
Oh, you had to take the course, right?
I took the course. I fired a gun. I've done that. I just have had no need.
Hey, Tracy.
Wait till you get a chance to fire a machine gun.
Yeah?
Is Jim the attorney? Who's the attorney in there?
Jim is the attorney in here.
You got a second for a question?
Jim, you got a second for a question?
You're the boss, Tracy.
I got a second for a question. I can make that happen.
All right. Just changing things up a little bit. How? What do gun manufacturers have anything to stand on as far as, because in my opinion, this gun control thing is affecting jobs, is affecting business in America. Do they have a leg to stand on to introduce any type of a class action lawsuit against the government for affecting their business?
Well, right now, they probably should be sending a thank you note to the government because their business is booming as a result of this anti-gun hysteria that the progressives are pushing on us. But I understand your question.
That's true.
You know, they very well may have some sort of a cause of action regarding that because it's a legitimate business. It's producing a legal, legitimate product, and the government basically is interfering with their business.
I just overheard there's a large sportsman's show that takes place in Harrisburg, PA. And I forget the organization behind it, but it's a Great Britain company from England. And they determined that they did not want any of these military-style weapons portrayed at this sportsman show. And it's the largest, I believe, in the United States, it was quoted, in Harrisburg, PA. And manufacturers and celebrities pulled out of it, and it's now been canceled.
Yeah, I didn't hear it was canceled.
It's been canceled because they can't go forward with it. So now all these hotels and all that's going to miss out on, they estimated $10 million just in the hotel loss in itself.
Jim, before I let you go, I've got two questions for you. And I've got to bring Stanley up so you can meet Stanley.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Oh, he says that with, like, okay, no big deal.
He hasn't met Stanley yet. But someone in the chat room says the KKK is not it's not relevant anymore. Is that true?
I have no idea whether the KKK is relevant anymore.
But I know they marched,
as far as, you know, because they kind of faded.
They marched in Warren a couple years ago.
Yeah, they did, but I think it's a very, very minuscule number of people involved in it. They have nowhere near the political authority or influence that they had back in the 20s, for example, here in this valley. But that doesn't mean that gun control efforts don't affect poor people, because that's who they're aimed at. It's basically, you know, back in the 70s, for example, several states passed laws and maybe a federal law that firearm had to reach a certain melting point, the metal being used. It was basically a way of eliminating what they called to be Saturday night specials. But what they're really doing when they pass a legislation like that is saying we don't want poor folk to have firearms. Because those are the guns they could afford.
Make them unaffordable.
They also passed laws saying you couldn't have guns in housing projects, for example. That was challenged by the NRA in court, and it was overturned. So what we're talking about here is people in housing projects are the most susceptible victims, the people who are law-abiding citizens, to the street thugs.
It was a project where that young man was shot
on
the east side.
But basically what they're trying to do is disarm the honest people, the good citizens, which is not going to stop the thugs and the dishonest people from getting guns, and that's the crux of the matter.
Hi, Stanley.
Hi, Tracy. I'm one of those people that said to Tracy, I'm hearing you guys, and you're making so many assumptions. So many assumptions. I'm sorry, you're always going back to Germany, Hitler, things like that, and if you studied that time, what happened, there's a lot of things in history that could justify how Hitler came, why it happened. It wasn't like it happened out of the blue moon. It happened because there was a long history. It goes back to World War One when Germany was basically felt like they were nothing. And it goes way back. Not the same thing in America. We're not going to take your gun. President Obama's not going to...
They said that in England.
Go ahead.
They said that in England.
No, I'm not going. Are we going to take example around the world? I could take example around the world that didn't work, and I can bring you examples around the world that did work. Are you going to just look at? There's always a saying: you can look what you want. You can look at the positive in something, or you can look at the negative. That's your choice. You could focus on saying it didn't work in this place and this place, and you know I could bring places that it did work. That's your choice.
Can you cite any place where gun restriction has improved crime?
Japan, 35 murder. Japan, you want one? Japan, 120 million people, gun restriction. They have at least maybe two murders of guns.
Stanley? And I'm gonna let Jim go. But have you really heard about their incarceration over in? No, not yet, Jim. Have you heard about their incarceration over in Japan? And what happens if you steal? What happens if you murder in Japan and other countries? I mean, it's not like you go to jail and you go to prison, have due process, and they take care of you. They tell me when you go offshore of the United States of America and you do crime, that prison is not like a picnic. You don't have televisions and weight rooms to relieve your stress.
Saudi Arabia.
You know, Japan is a very regimented society, and they have a very strong family values there and that sort of thing. And now each society has to be judged on its own culture and its own history. So you can't really make that kind of assumption that because they don't have guns and that's why their murder rate is low. Their suicide rate is through the roof.
Yeah, let me give here's an example. We do not have barriers on our subways, but they have barriers in Japan.
What a
barrier. They have glass doors between the subway and the people because of the suicides. They were jumping in front of the subway trains in Japan.
And by the way, Japan initiated a war that cost millions of lives, and not that long ago. So, you know, how do you leave that out of the equation?
And they didn't mind dying for it. Listen, I got to let Jim go. I got to take my break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation if you like. But I've got to talk about this women in combat on the front lines. I have issues, guys. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
What if they cry?
They're not going to cry. The question is, do women
Hillary cried testifying. What if they cry?
I'll be right back.
I don't
want to
be anywhere near that.
Hey. Party. No playlist. No problem. iHeartRadio does the rest. Download the free app now at iHeartRadio.com.
Hello.
Let's talk big. Big sandwich, big taste, big value, big news. Yes, we're talking about the Chipotle chicken and cheese footlong sub, now only $5 at Subway restaurants. Tender chicken, melted cheese, and a rich smoky chipotle sauce, all on flatbread or your favorite freshly baked bread. Now that's big. The Chipotle chicken and cheese footlong sub, now just $5 at Subway restaurants. Subway, eat fresh. At participating restaurants, limited time only. Subway is a registered trademark of Doctors Associates Inc.
Saddle up for big flavor. The smoky Chipotle chicken and cheese is the featured $5 footlong of January. This succulent Southwestern beauty is filled with juicy grilled chicken, melted bubbly cheese, and a kick of Chipotle Southwest sauce. Get it made just the way you say. Try it with fiery jalapenos or any of your favorite veggies on toasty flatbread. This January only, the Chipotle chicken and cheese joins our many $5 footlongs. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only, plus applicable tax, price, and participation may vary. Price in Tyrone, Alaska, Hawaii. Additional charge for extras.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
You had an accident and the guy's bloodthirsty lawyer wants to sue you. How would you protect yourself? Affordable liability insurance from Safe Auto. For not a lot of money, you can protect yourself from your own mistakes. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO now. Drive safe, spend less, Safe Auto.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. But it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of vets who've got your back. Whether it's managing the transition home or everyday stuff
like finding a nice sweater for my dog.
Sweater?
Okay, maybe not that. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
Thank you for calling Discover Card.
I wanted to ask you a couple of questions.
I've got nothing to hide.
My bill is due today and I haven't paid yet.
Is that a confession?
Have I committed a crime?
Nope. With our new IT card, you can pay up till midnight Eastern time by phone or online the day it's due.
Convenient. How do I know you're telling the truth?
Because I work for Discover Card.
Got a witness to verify that?
Just you. You called me.
Okay, that checks out. You recording this?
Yes, I am.
Good, so am I.
I would like a copy.
Copy that.
Copy that.
Copy that.
Finally, a credit card that treats you like you treat you. Payment flexibility. Get the new IT card at discover.com.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's
it. Are you satisfied with your current level of reproductive health care? Have you been considering making a change? Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley are accepting new patients. Call 330-746-7007 for comprehensive female care that includes fertility treatment, contraception management, and prenatal care through delivery. Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of Mahoning Valley provide individualized, personalized care in a soothing, first-class environment. Call 330-746-7007. Most insurances accepted.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com.
Hey, we're back.
And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back. I lost my hair, and Bob had to pick my hair up. You're not supposed to pick my hair up.
That's because of your headphones.
No, that's because I had a hat on that was bothering me, and I moved it around. You had to pick, I lost my hair, and wow, I got hair problems.
That's okay. We're on
so what happens when, well, not when you tell it, doesn't, you know.
Well, they still don't see it. We're on radio.
We're on radio? Oh, no, don't pull the hair. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. It's 13 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. I want to thank Jim Denny for coming and hanging out with us today. He's an attorney here in Youngstown, Ohio, and if you ever need an attorney, give him a call. He does great work. He does criminal work, and he does family. He does general practice, but he knows the law, and he knows what he's doing. Sammy and Matt's in the chat room, and Bob's here in the studio, and I've got Bob. You sent me an email. I did not know it was you. This morning, I opened up my emails, and I'm sitting over in an office, and I start cracking up, and everybody wants to know, because I'm not a big laugher, I don't make a lot of noise, don't do a lot of talking, and all of a sudden, everybody wants to know why I'm laughing. You send me a, and I mentioned it earlier on the air, you may have missed it, but you sent me a parody of what happens when you have a gun-free zone, and the cop and bad guys show up. And they read the sign and they just walk away. Oh, man, gun-free zone, and they just walk away. That doesn't work like that. You know that, right?
I never forget when I first got my concealed carry. My neighbors were nurses. And they said to me, they go, well, you know, you can't carry in the hospital. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And he says, well, don't you know the kind of people we deal with? You can't have guns there. And I looked at him and I said, really? So you've got some nut who's decided has voices in his head that tells him to go kill people, and he's going to walk up to the hospital intending to kill people, and he's going to read that sign that says you can't enter with a gun, and he's going to go, oh, man, and he's going to turn around and walk away.
That's right.
Really?
Yeah.
No, the voices are going to tell him nobody else has a gun in there.
Absolutely. No, they're going to walk away. Don't worry about it. Wait
a minute. Then how did the Sandy Hook shooting happened, that's a gun-free zone.
They didn't have a sign up.
Oh.
You got to have a sign.
But this parody showed, like, even the little old lady in bed, the guy come in to rob her, and she just shook her head and pointed at her sign.
And he just said, oh, man.
Oh, man.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I want to, I got to talk about women in combat before I get to Hillary Clinton. I got to do that. And we'll even slide both of them together if you want to. Listen, guys and ladies, and I want to hear what you have to say about this. And I'm the only girl here right now, so if there's any ladies out there who have a different opinion, I don't think the front line of combat, I know we want to be I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. I know we want to get promotion, and we should get promotion as men.
But when I go on the golf course, they got men's tees and ladies' tees, and I always take advantage of the ladies' tees, even if I'm playing with the guys. Please tell me, what in the world would possess you to fight for to go on the front line to die? South Carolina, I don't know if you're listening because you're a Marine kind of guy, but I just don't think women we're not made for that.
Let me ask you a question.
What?
We both are. I'll go to firefighting. Okay.
You can go there too.
All right. There's standards that I have to meet as a man.
Right.
Physical standards.
Right.
And the agility test. And they lower the standards for you, but we're both going to perform the same job.
I don't even think. I know adrenaline kicks in, and I know that women can do anything. And when our adrenaline kicks in, we are invincible. We are.
Do you think you could pull me out of this building?
If my adrenaline kicked in and things were, I can think my way to make sure you get out safely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I know women that could do it, and I'll tell you what, I'm all for them going into combat as long as they don't lower those standards. You have to meet those physical requirements in order to go. Women, in my opinion, can do whatever they want. And with this women's movement and the whole thing, first of all, I think people like Hillary Clinton really spit on the women's movement. And it's funny how she's held in such high regard by the women's movement. But when she couldn't testify in front of Congress because she had a headache, I had a little problem with that. Now, when it comes to combat, as long as you're held and can pass those standards.
But we can't. Matt, listen to this. We can do some things, I am a very, very big, strong woman. I am. I'm a big girl, and I got muscles, and I can do some stuff.
It's got some guns.
But now, I really want you to know the emotional element of my being. I can't get away from. You know, I really can't. I mean, I act like I can control everything, and women, we have the ability to hide some stuff, and we're very, very strong, but. Are we really made to go out there and fight like that?
Do you? I'm gonna start something.
You might as well.
All right. Can you imagine an emotional trauma on a female president with her finger on the button?
Well, no. The woman cried yesterday, and it's okay to cry. I understand it. I cry when I preach, but that ain't the point. I'm allowed to cry when I'm preaching, but when you go in. Even as commander, I know we can, and we are good at what we do. But don't y'all think that we have limitations? Or do we not, are we that man now? Are we that butch now? It's okay for men to be wusses and women to be butch. Help me out here.
I'm really not sure how to answer it either, other than I've seen women perform men's tasks throughout my life. Maybe it wasn't in combat, okay, but I've seen them perform up to the standard that needed to be performed. Now, if I'm in combat, if I'm in Afghanistan, and I have 300 people shooting at me, honestly, and I'm a man, I might cry too.
I don't know, because at the time they tell me you really can't cry, you just got to step up and do it.
I know me. I'm crying.
So have we, because I don't think, so you don't think there's not a problem with women being on the front line? I mean, there are women out there that have lost their lives in combat, and I said they should have never been a part of the infantry, period. That's when they first started this mess. I don't.
I look at, we're going to talk about Benghazi, and I look at that one soldier who they found blood on his machine gun on the rooftop that he fought for 8 hours. He was a volunteer.
Do you know
he volunteered for this, and he held off hundreds until he could no longer continue to fight because he died.
But do you know what happens with women? Listen to this. We, and in our early years, we are great. Have you guys seen women go through menopause?
I'm married.
Yeah, and me too.
That's all I'm saying.
So you've seen women go through menopause.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I want you to take PTSD and slap menopause with it and see what you get.
Mm-mm. Do you have access to a firearm?
I mean, you just have to understand. I want you to understand something. Women are, this is my opinion, and the number is 347-945-5229. It's somewhat of open mic. You know, Stanley, your mic is on. You guys, I want to hear what you have to say. But I really want you to understand this. You take. You know, we have what we have. What they call it? What they call it every month? I forget.
Postpartum depression or something like that.
No, not that one. The one that we have. Our moods change and we bite everybody's neck off every month.
PMS.
There you go.
Wait a minute. I got that. I got parked motorcycle syndrome.
That's what I'm saying. We got PMS. So you got PMS, and you're gonna slam PTSD with PMS. What do you get?
Well,
you get psycho cat.
Hold on a second here, Tracy. Let's think about this for a second, too, because I'm going to bring up the gun issue with this as well. If you're saying that you can't trust women in combat because of their PMS and their moods, well, maybe you can make the argument that women can't own guns either for the same reason.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Or maybe
hold on.
Because, see, PTSD, which is postpartum depression,
post-trauma syndrome, stress disorder.
Right. And it usually happens with combat. They come back after being in combat, and men become emotional wrecks, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
They can't deal with the inactivity.
Right. They can't deal with the...
Can't sleep.
They have issues. Now, you slap that with our emotionalism just by being a woman. And because, you know, we can handle things, but we're not good at handling... We're not made for that.
But see, I believe God made us different for a reason. I mean, He made you nurturers, and He made us nature.
But we don't appreciate that. We want to be men.
I mean, the reason why you bear children and participate in their rearing,
you couldn't handle it,
is because you're a nurturer.
True, but a man couldn't handle having a baby.
Well, let's remember,
barely handle having a cold.
Let's remember, too, that women currently are on the front lines in war because they are allowed to deliver munitions from airplanes. They've been involved in attacks from airplanes. So, really, they are on the front line, and you could once again make the argument to say that if they were in a dogfight and happened to win that dogfight but got all upset because of these issues that they had, that they would just go release a nuclear weapon on a city somewhere. So
But they say women out there have a problem. They do. They say, because, you know, they get to crying and boo-hooing.
But there's another reason. This goes back to early Roman, I mean, to battles to begin with. The reason why men go off to war and women don't is because we would be extinct. Okay. The first thing you do when you need to reduce the deer population is you open up doe season. That reduces the population. You reduce the...
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay, you reduce the doe. You increase the taking of the doe. All right? If women went off to war and men stayed home, there would be no one to repopulate us. Because 10 men and 1 woman don't work. You can only have 1 child at a time.
Right.
But you can have 10 women and 1 man.
You can have 10 at one time.
And you can have 10. So it's a math thing. It's a numbers thing. So this is why, I mean, throughout generations, men have went off to war and women didn't.
But I don't think we're made for that. Maybe I'm just old-fashioned and I'm still into their gender roles.
Do you feel that you could hold up underneath torture?
Absolutely not. I'm going to sing like a bird.
Do you think you could be waterboarded?
Absolutely not. I'm going to sing. I'm telling you now, I'm a wuss. I'm going to tell everything. Don't tell me nothing you don't want.
I'm
going to
put you in a cell, and I'm not going to let you shower. I'm not going to let you bathe.
Nope.
And I'm going to feed you out of one.
Only when my children are concerned. When children are concerned, we can handle anything. Outside of that, I'm telling everything. And I don't even have kids.
Well, but see, that's you, Tracy. I mean, my sister, I'll go to my sister because she's one of the strongest people, and that's men or women I've ever met. And it's not just she's not the strongest physically, but when it comes to situations like what you just mentioned, showers, this, that, and the other thing, if push comes to shove, she does what it takes to get the task done. That's the way she's always been.
Now, that I believe. That I'm sure about. As I said, women rise to the occasion. What I'm saying is we have no business putting ourselves in the situation where we have to rise like that.
I'll give you my wife an example. Where she works, you know, she takes care of the spiders.
The who?
The spiders.
Spiders of what?
Spiders. The little creepy crawly things. Her boss is scared to death of spiders.
I don't blame her.
And she will walk over and go like this and just brush it in her hand and take it outside.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Okay.
No,
I just laugh about it when my wife says, I had to save another spider.
Hey, Chicago, how you doing, darling?
All right. My take in on it, since they have gay people able to serve openly, you have gay males to serve openly and they can switch with their guns like women, then I guess it is okay for women to serve on the front lines in the military.
But, I mean, it's a politically correct thing, but I don't think it's a good thing.
I don't think gays should serve openly in the military.
I don't either. I don't either. I don't have a problem with how they live their life, but openly gay in the military on the front line with your boo with you is not cool.
So do they have gay marriages and live on the base together?
Absolutely.
They do?
Yeah. They call them roommates right now. But not if President Obama has his way. I'm just saying. I mean, I just don't think it's good. I mean, they tell me, because it's my understanding, and as I said, the number is 347-945-5229. It's hard for men even to be on the front line with women.
Hmm.
Because in their nature, you're already concerned about your person that's out there with you anyhow. And it's different when there's a woman with you, because you don't look at her as equal per se, psychologically, in the back of your mind, because of your sisters and your mom.
Did you read the book I gave you?
No.
Why Men Are the Way They Are?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't have the author on. Go ahead.
All right.
But I have it on my read list.
There's a question in there that caused him to read this book, and it was because his brother died. And his brother died because they were skiing in the Alps, and they came across an area where it said there was a possible avalanche danger. And he wants to know why his brother told his fiancée, honey, let me go first.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, what happened to the day that we wanted men to take care of us? I thought women married for security. I didn't think we married to become men. And Sticks has put something in the chat room. He said 36 women are pregnant on the board of a naval ship in the Gulf. I mean, are y'all following what I'm saying? Come on now.
But
you know what happens on lonely nights?
He wants to know what mental process did his brother go through that he felt it was necessary for him to take the risk and not.
But he's supposed to. That's what a man does.
Says who?
That's what a man does. He's supposed to. He is the hunter. He is the hunter gatherer.
I'm going to tell you to keep your head down in the foxhole while I charge.
Absolutely. And any woman should want that. Am I being too old-fashioned, guys?
Well, you know what? Let's look at the animal kingdom for a second. Look at lions. Who does the most of the warfare and the hunting and the protection? Who
she
does that?
She does. She does.
So really, but it's not going against nature.
I'm not an animal.
But she has to keep away from her cubs.
Animal.
That's what I'm saying. We're not animals.
Tracy, do you think that I just called you an animal?
No.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, we're not animals.
I want to clear that up before you start telling people.
I will tell them next week that you called me an animal, but not today. But I'm just saying, don't you guys want ladies? How can you have a lady when I'm just as butch as you are? I can ruin your ego because I can change a light bulb and you can't, and then I'm going to go to the front line and you're going to stay home and bake cookies? We got TV shows on now where we got stay-at-home dads.
Hey, you know what? I tried this for years. I'll be a stay-at-home dad.
Didn't work, did it?
No.
Just checking. I mean, come on now. Look at the gender role reversal we've got going on here. Does a man, is he really supposed to stay home and bake cookies while I go to work?
We're physically different.
No, not today.
No, we are physically different.
No, not today. Everything's the same. Men are men, women are women. Women can be with women, men can be with men. Everybody can procreate. Everybody can do everything, and we're all cool.
Men are stronger.
No,
men
we're not.
Taller.
No, you're not.
Yes, we are.
No, you're not. Anything you can do, I can do better. We got this song ingrained in our heart, and then, so now we think we can, and we really can. That's what I'm saying.
I know. We even have women doing things that men do standing up that we...
Are you following what I'm saying? What in the world is going on here?
I don't agree.
And then going to combat, you know, being fired. I mean, come on. Am I wrong?
Not my vote.
Just don't agree with it. That's all. I think as long as they pass standards, I don't think that women can go off, you know, off their rocker in the middle of combat any more than a man can. At least in my personal experience, my wife has made better decisions than I have.
That's different. But decisions are one thing. I mean,
did it concern guns and cars versus children and?
I mean, women. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we're inferior to men. What I'm saying is we're not men, and we need to understand that our strengths are in our weaknesses.
When was the last congressman or senator that male that cried on the stand?
Boehner. No, he just cried when he got, you know.
He didn't cry public.
He teared.
Oh, I'm sorry.
President Obama.
I'm sorry.
841, your mic is on. I'm sorry,
yeah,
814.
I wanted to make a comment. I mean, I spent 19 and a half years in the Army. And I got to tell you that I ran across a lot of women. And, you know, seeing them go through basic training, AIT, and all that stuff. And I got to tell you, there's quite a few women that I ran into that had the mental strength, the physical strength, that I would have no problem going into combat with. Now, I'm not saying every woman, just like not every man, is cut out for that. When you're in a firefight, you can have a man freeze up just as easy as a woman would freeze up. But I'm just saying that I don't see a problem with it if the woman chooses and she has that disposition, because I've seen some really, really outstanding female warriors that I would have no problem going into combat with at all.
So you don't think there's a problem with women being on the front line like that?
Xena.
No, not if there was a draft, I think that would be a problem, all right, because not everybody. See, the thing is, I'm not looking at it as a man-woman thing, because you have to have a certain mental strength to even be able to handle that, number one.
Isn't that what basic training eliminates, though, or weeds out?
Yeah, for the most part, but it is. It's still basic training. It's a little bit different when... you know, you're riding down a road in the desert, and all of a sudden you got RPGs and you got snipers shooting at you. You know what I'm saying? And so basic training is basic training. And then there's advanced training. Okay, but the point I'm trying to make is I ran into many women in the military that were, I guess, for lack of a better term, above and beyond a lot of men that I ran into in the military, that if it was like, oh, okay, you have a choice to pick who you want to take, there's definitely some women that I would have named because they were just better shots, and they had that mental aspect of them where you just knew that they weren't going, you know, they were going to go all the way. You know? I mean, I've seen soldiers, you know, shot in the calf, or, you know, their calf shot off, And the medic is trying to, you know, patch up the calf, and he's still firing. He's still fighting. Okay? You would still see this in women, too. I'm not saying all women, but to deny it, because it is a choice. You know, it's still a woman's choice. And we can go back in history and look at, you know, what they were saying about African Americans, that they couldn't fly, you know, planes
but see, the difference, I'm not talking about, I'm not saying that we're mentally incapable. I'm not saying that we're totally physically incapable. I know that we can rise to many occasions, and we're very good at what we do. But I'm saying overall, in general, with this role reversal thing that we have going on here, in the long term, it's not going to be good for us. I mean, honestly, you know, when you look at women, and even though we can handle things, and men can handle a lot, but what happens when I get hit my midlife crisis and I start going through menopause? Well, I'm an emotional wreck anyhow. And then I take on the pursuit of the wars that I've been through.
Well, then you could take a medical.
Tracy, there's a slippery slope here. And one thing is what you're doing is you're separating people from people by, listen, everybody should be under the same rules and the same guidelines. That's in anything other than saying that if women want to go into the U.S. military and fight on the front lines, whether you think it's detrimental or not, by saying that they can't do that is literally sliding down that slippery slope, and a lot of the things that we talk about as far as conservatism goes and what the Constitution means, we're dismissing by even having the argument. Women are
all right,
the same.
Well,
go ahead.
I want to take what you just stated, that everyone should be have the same, is the argument that they're using for gay marriage.
That's what I was thinking.
Well,
do we draw a distinction someplace?
Right.
And where do you draw
Tracy,
that line?
We have our disagreements there, but I'm not going to go into the gay marriage thing right now. That's not what the show is about.
But I'm just saying, I thought the same thing about this, you know, it's the same. I understand that women have the right, but don't we have limits? I mean, when do we, because...
Well, let's have a study about it. Why don't we do write somebody who has something to do with how people perform under pressure or whatever. Let's do a study about it and see what the results say then.
Let's see if we get the president to sign an executive order on this.
Women do well under pressure. I'm not saying that it's dangerous. I'm saying it's dangerous to the future of societal roles. And maybe that, as I said, maybe I'm a little bit too old-fashioned, but I think because of the exchange in societal roles, we have feminized America so much that we've taken the responsibility that the man once had, and we've diminished it. Hold on, 261, your mic is on.
How y'all doing this evening?
Good, Paul.
Tracy, you what? Know, way back in the day when they came out with Mr. Mom, remember how funny that was?
Yeah.
38, 39, whatever.
That was so funny, Mr. Mom. Remember when the comedian had to stay home and watch the kids? He put rubber gloves on and goggles just to change the baby's diaper.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. In America, now that they have done this, America needs to stick his head between his legs and stick a gun somewhere and blow the trigger, because I think it's a disgrace that men are allowing women to get on the battlefield. And the only reason that they're there is because they want money. Because the lazy butt man won't do his job and stand up and be a man. It's a shame. I see it taking place in the church. I see it taking place in corporations and all over the world. And all because men won't obey God and take a rightful place as a leader. Somebody made a comment on there, well, the female lion does the hunting. Well, the commercial on TV showed the gazelles with the night vision goggles on watching the big lion hunt. If he's hungry, he'll hunt his darn self. But it's just a shame. Our country has truly, truly changed. I would never. I must be a male chauvinist pig, because I just don't believe a woman should be climbing no trees and painting no bridges and all that kind of stuff. I'm sorry. I just can't see my mama doing that. But because I had a father that was sorry and didn't step up to the plate, she had to do it to keep food on the table. Is it right? The Bible is against it, and I'm against it, so to speak. Strictly for that reason. And any man that says a woman can do something better than him is just been sold out. Because a man taught woman how to do everything. And I don't care. That's from day one. That's from God's mouth all the way up. God said that the woman was the weaker vessel. He put something in her that made her different. Now, I don't care if you overreacted. And just like you can dye your hair jet black when you're 90 years old, you're still going to be 90. And I'm sorry, it just ain't right. And I feel sorry for America because of what they've done. I really do. I really
do. You're 100% right. We've taken God out of the equation.
Man, I was
trying to
be
hanging up.
Oh, here we go again. Really?
I'm just saying, I mean, Stanley, you don't have to believe in God, but what I'm saying is, look at what we've done. Look, I mean, look at what was. I mean, I understand. I want to be able to be independent. But what happened to actually having the respect for men and their position, and a man respecting a woman for hers, and letting them be separate but equal?
Oh, that respect is gone, Tracy.
Why?
Is that good? No, it's gone.
Is it good that it's gone?
No, it's not. I agree with you. It's not good that it's gone, but it's gone. When we live in a society that always puts men that's not important, that being a man is not important, things like that, that women, let them roar, it's the most important thing. When we have shows, TV shows, commercial, things like that, that are basically saying that being a man is not worth it, what do you expect?
That's what I'm saying. I really don't want...
The man has been taken out of the home.
That's what I'm saying.
So now, there's no role model in the house.
And so now mommy's going to go on the front line and daddy's going to go on the front line. Who's going to take care of baby boy?
Yeah.
Did you see the where was it? Somewhere in Ohio, the judge told a man not to have any more children until he can afford them?
No, but I think that we need to make a sign.
He was $97,000 in arrears.
I mean, just think about this. Men go out and populate the country. They raise, they see children that they don't take care of. We have formed girls into little men now because of the pressure of life. I understand being a tomboy, and I don't have a problem with it because I was one. But after a while, that tomboy should grow up to be a lady, and she should grow up, and she should grow up to be able to control her emotions as well as her brawn and her self-control. I think that's important. I was watching Secretary Clinton yesterday. You know, she's a very, very strong woman.
But
you could see her weaknesses, okay?
It wasn't an act?
Sometimes it's just not an act. I mean, you can't. Mrs. Obama, over the weekend, Boehner said something to her husband at the inauguration luncheon. And her emotions, she was not strong enough to hold the look on her face back to where it was captured on camera, her feelings of whatever was said. That's, if you can't control your emotional expressions.
Kind of like this is a big effing deal.
You know what? No, like. Dude, if we wasn't sitting at this table, I'd take you out in the backyard. Look, you could tell by how she was chewing her food. She wanted to put a can of whip something on him. So what I'm saying is, women are the same, and men are the same, and we should be the same, even though we're different, and we're taking on more and more masculinities and masculine roles, and we're putting our femininity down. And I don't think that's good for our society as a whole, nor the future of it. As I said, I know we can rise to the occasion. Can I change a tire? Absolutely. Can I roll? Can I change oil? Mm-hmm. Can I work on a car? Yeah, I can. Do I like it? No. Can I build a house? Absolutely. I can be a firefighter. As a matter of fact, I can be a preacher and be better than the rest. But I don't have to get up there and hoop like a man. And
so,
we are, huh?
I was just going to ask you a question. So I know a lot of women who agree with me as far as the way policy should be run in this country and the way war should be fought. Are you saying that they don't have the right to defend their country as they see fit?
No, I feel that they have the right to defend their country, but I think we need to understand, we need to put not just on this, on front line, not just on this area. I don't have a problem with a woman flying a plane into combat because it's totally different, but it's another thing being in the infantry on the front line
in
a foxhole.
Just because you have the right to something doesn't mean you have to exercise it.
I got a question. What happens when she has a Menzi?
Have a what?
A menstrual cycle on the front line.
Well, then you deal with it.
You adapt, yeah.
What do you mean you adapt?
Well, you just deal with
feminine products to the front line.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, because, you know, crabs are a bear. I mean, y'all don't understand. Crabs will take you out.
You don't have to rush anything to the front lines. That's part of, you know, obviously there's things that need to be told. If you're on the front lines and things happen, then you're going to have to deal with them and do your job.
No, you're missing my point. We got a male panel going on here. Hold up.
But wait a minute. There's a commercial that they use a feminine hygiene product to plug a hole in a boat.
It only holds for so long. I think the gentleman, 814, how long have you been on the front line?
How long have I? 19 and a half years, basically. But
and so when you went out from your post, how long were you out there? And you had to eliminate yourself in the elements.
There were times where everything went wrong, okay, where you would go, you're supposed to go for a resupply, and you get lost. You can't find it. All right, so you're sucking on cabbage. All right, you know, you're getting dehydrated. You have to be able to adapt to the situation because things aren't always going to go right, no matter how you visualize it in your head.
Okay.
And this kind of goes with everything. You can visualize, oh, this is how it's going to go if I go to a club. Well, it's not going to go that way. It's going to go a different way. You know what I'm saying? And that's how things just happen. No matter how you think it's going to go, it's not going to go that way. It's going to be something in between.
So my question, I mean, and I'm talking about the simple stuff. I'm not even talking about the emotional stuff. I'm just saying, you know, crabs show up, and woo!
I have looked at my wife and went, "What's wrong, honey?" I mean,
huh?
And I'm like, "What?" And then I looked at the date.
Time to fight. And you're talking about we got to go fight. Okay, I'm gonna rise to the occasion and fight. But my question is that where we really belong? And I'm not trying to be funny about this. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I don't think we belong everywhere. And we need to, and we need to teach our young ladies that they can go anywhere, but they don't belong everywhere. That's all I'm saying. And as I said, I can be wrong.
I'm gonna say it again. Just because I have the right doesn't mean I have to exercise it.
It's not have to. It isn't have to. We're not telling women that they have to go into combat. So that's an incorrect statement.
If
you want to and you can perform the task and you've proved that you can perform the task, then you have the right to perform the task. Not that you have to.
But, Matt, listen what's going to happen. Okay, say in the future they enact the draft. See, you gotta, let's take it from here to the future. Let's move to maybe 30 years ahead, and we have to enact the draft. Well, they're gonna have little girls like me. She's not gonna have the choice of what she's doing, and men are not gonna sit on the sidelines and say men can sign up for selective service, but women can't. Because if you gotta have one, you gotta have both. You can't have one and not the other. You follow where I'm going?
Well, you're right, and I understand the draft thing, but still, to go into combat and perform the task, you need to meet the requirements, even if they have a draft. If you go in there and you're not physically able to do the job, they're not going to put you on the front lines.
So how do we, you know, I mean, look, right now, when you turn 18, if I'm not mistaken, young men still have to
sign up
for selective service.
Yes. It's a law.
Why have they not enforced it for women?
I think it's common.
Okay.
If this is pushed, and granted, I'm with you on one point, and that's this is the feminist movement has been pushing for this for a long time.
We're not pushing for sign up for selective service. That's not our push.
No, right, but that's going to be a consequence of them pushing for it. So it's going to come down the line.
It's not going to be equal standards because that's already been documented. Women firefighters do not have to perform the same physical tasks that the men do.
And I'm agreeing that that is absolutely wrong and shouldn't be. They should have to perform those tasks. I agree with that.
No.
Already set a precedent, and it's going to fall into the military.
Our golf course, like I said, our golf.
Women tees.
We got lady tees.
Well, that's wrong
to begin
with.
And the PGA.
Right, and why are we not competing? And that's what I'm saying. I mean, we separate. I mean, if you look at some of these girls on the WBA court, They could go throw down with the NBA and be just fine.
There's some golfers that can do the same thing to men.
So what? Why are they not playing together now?
I don't know.
I mean, come on now. If you want
Where's to... all the women football players?
They're playing in...
They're playing in
the little league, but it's coming. And where do we draw the line with this?
And wait a minute. Is this going to happen? You hit her too hard.
Absolutely. Because we're talking about concussions now with young men. So my question, I mean, look at football right now, and look at what we're talking about. Look at our athletics, and where do we stop this line? Because if women can play on the front line, then they can play on the court of football or on the court of basketball
and
the field of football.
I guarantee you there'll be a hit list on female football players. There'll be a bounty. I guarantee it.
I'm knocking them out. Knocking them
straight
out.
Well, It might change go that way in the NFL, how they're changing the rules of how they hit the quarterback and certain penalties and you know
not even just the quarterback.
I know for other players also you know offensive players don't
shoulder to helmet contact now.
Yeah, they're gonna change some more rules to make it more of a softer game.
Huh?
No, he's right. They might as well put flags on these players anymore.
Okay, so here we go. We're going to put flags on them, and we're going to put women on the field. You got lingerie football, but we're going to put – I mean, after this season, next year, women are going to start fighting for –
Tracy, did you ever watch a lingerie football game?
I did watch it online. Mike Claret and them had me watching it. I didn't even know it existed until they got gear. That's kind of weird. I'm just saying. And so now we're going to go to the front line, but we don't want selective service. We're going to fight for football. We're going to fight for basketball. There has to be a line drawn somewhere, and the question is, where do we draw that line, and should women be doing everything?
And let me draw this. What's going to happen when the body bags start coming back with females in it?
Well, they've been doing that. We've had about 150.
No, but it's going to be more if you put them on the front line.
Absolutely. But that's okay. That's okay, because kids don't need parents anymore. We got the government. Ain't that right, Stanley?
The government.
I'm just saying, there should be a line somewhere, and the liberal progressive move of this liberation and of this feminist movement has feminized the country into a place where gender identification is so blurred, no one knows what their roles are. So how are you supposed to cohabitate in a house?
I mean, I understand what you're saying, Tracy, but I'm saying, like, with the draft, and that's one thing I said, I didn't think that would be a good idea.
But on the other hand, it works in Israel.
Right, but right now we have, a volunteer army, military. So if a woman chooses, to go into MOS of infantry, like the other caller said, yes, she has to meet the same standards. Like way back when I went in, when I first went in, the women, when they were doing push-ups, they could do them, they were on their knees doing push-ups, where the men had to do just regular push-ups. Where now in the military, the women do regular push-ups just like the men do. So, yeah, they have to meet the requirement, but I don't see any reason at this point, anyway. If a woman chooses, to go into a combat job or MOS in the Army, why she should be stopped doing that, especially if she's really good at what she does.
But what I'm saying is she's opening a Pandora's box, and we keep on opening it up, and we keep on opening it up. And see, there are things that we want from that you guys have, but we don't want all that you have. And see, pretty soon we're going to want to select what we get, and
right,
it ain't going to be right.
But you have that choice. You have the choice. Like my daughter, for example, my oldest daughter, all right, she wouldn't be cut out for that. She doesn't have, she's just not cut out.
So what happens when
she
doesn't have a choice in it?
Let me ask you this. How come your daughter's insurance rates to drive are lower than a male her same age?
Are you following what I'm saying? Because boys are more reckless, they say. Or it used to be.
But we're equal.
Listen, when you take a...
We have testosterone.
No, when you have a shirt and you go to the cleaners... You can take a man's shirt and a woman's shirt and take it to the cleaner.
You have a blouse.
My blouse is going to cost more than your shirt. No kidding.
Same thing with a haircut. Same thing with a haircut. Woman's haircut costs more than a man's.
A beautician's not allowed to use a razor blade.
Correct.
On your skin.
On your skin.
She can use it to cut your hair, but she is not allowed to shave your
right.
hair.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Follow what's going on here. We want equalization, but we don't want to be equal. And so now we're going to go in the front line, and it's okay if it's voluntary, but what happens, because it's my understanding, when you're in selective service, you really don't have a choice in your job at times when you go. Am I wrong?
You have to qualify for what you're doing.
But your qualification.
If you're a man or a woman,
yeah,
you have to qualify.
I'm qualified, but I don't want to go. Okay, I'm serious. I'm 210, and I can bench press some stuff, and I can run some miles. So now that I can run and I can bench, and I've got a strong mental asset, I can do some stuff, but I don't want to go to the front line. But because I can, they're gonna make me go. I don't want to go.
Well, then you could be a conscientious objector.
They're not gonna let me.
You have men that have definitely done that.
And I'm just saying, and I'll get to.
I love playing devil's advocate.
I'm gonna take a break, and I'm gonna get to Benghazi. I'm gonna play some clips from Hillary Clinton yesterday. Because I'm just saying, as you said, I've never seen a man break down and cry. Not like, I mean,
coming to my house.
Do you cry? You cry, Matt?
I gotta tell you, my wife is that's one of those strong women I'm talking about, and she's made other men cry too. It's unbelievable.
I don't want your wife to meet mine.
My wife is Puerto Rican Italian. What's yours?
German.
All right, that would be a good fight.
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm just looking at this and I'm going, wow, you know.
Her maiden name was Schwarzenegger.
No, it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Imagine growing up going to school with that last name, Schwarzenegger.
No, can't.
She was a tomboy.
I mean, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with tomboys. I mean, I think it's good. I just think
she drives a Mustang.
There's nothing
high speed.
I like fast cars. I like muscle cars. But my question is, when do we draw the line, and do we ever draw the line? When I take my break, when I come back, I do want to ask you guys, do you think that it emasculates men when women take over and take charge like they're doing now?
Hey, Tracy, let me just get one quick comment in. And this is all I gotta, and really, I am on the fence about the subject, and I put that in the chat room. I'm not really sure where to go with it, and that's why I'm challenging it so much. But my thing is, if my daughter comes to me, when my youngest one or my oldest one, if they come to me and they say, Daddy, I want to defend my country and defend my way of life the way I see fit, how am I going to tell them you're not allowed? I think that's my main problem, is I don't want to take any right that they feel away from them.
And I understand. I understand that. I do. I understand that you don't want to take their and I my mom told me you could do anything, you could become anything that you chose to, and I'm with that. I agree with that, but there are certain things she told me to be a young lady. You know, it's like sitting with my legs gapped open. She told me that, you know, I'm a lady, I shouldn't do that. You know, there are certain things that young ladies there's a certain swagger that a woman should have.
Who's teaching
that adds her femininity to her, where she does not be, where she is not a you know?
Who's teaching that today?
I don't know.
It's not being taught.
And what makes you
there's,
think
there's
that
no
that
role
woman's
model
being
for
used?
That.
What'd you say, Stanley?
What makes you think that woman's being used also?
Well, she's not being, what I'm saying, she's being used, but I'm just saying, don't you think that there should be a swagger that women have? Thank you.
That's not being taught.
What?
That's not being taught. A certain way that ladies have to be to act like a lady. A lot of women think they're ladies and they don't act like they are.
So, is that a good thing?
That's a bad thing. Of course.
Let me take my break. That's what I'm saying. That's a bad thing. We got a problem here because we're losing our essence. I'll be right back.
Men only. She knows it will be tough to pass, but California Senator Dianne Feinstein is reintroducing a proposal to ban so-called assault weapons.
Promising that her legislation will not take weapons away from hunters, sportsmen, and responsible gun owners, Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein proposes to prohibit 158 kinds of military-style assault weapons and large-capacity ammunition clips.
The purpose is to dry up the supply of these weapons over time.
Feinstein and her co-sponsors admit their effort will be difficult against the opposition of gun rights groups. The National Rifle Association and other such groups say there is no evidence that an assault weapons ban would save lives. Vic Ratner, ABC News, at the Capitol.
President Obama's choice to be the next Secretary of State on Capitol
Hill. Hey, Stan, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, I'm not going to argue with it because I really am on the fence about this, the whole subject. I think it's a great subject. You're for not having women fight
up front line? I'm for what you said. If they're able to pass the test that men pass, then they're fit to do that. But I'm not in, because the men's test when it comes to the Army is a lot more tougher than the women ones. I don't agree with that. You want to be like, you want to have the thing, you have to have the same test as men pass when it comes to that.
Okay, I think we're in agreement on that. And it goes with the, and unfortunately, it's not the same throughout the country, especially with the, who's on the show right now with Tracy? Do you know who that guy is?
I think it's South Carolina. I'm not sure he's there.
Okay, I know it's not Ben. That's who I thought it was originally, but he made a point where he's like, "Well, the fact is that there's no standards for, you know, firemen and other such things like that, or even police officers." And I agree that, you know, women are allowed to perform those tasks, but are at a lower standard, such as being, you know, doing push-ups on their knees and things of that sort. I think all of these professions need to be stepped up because you're going to get somebody killed if you don't.
Yeah, you should have the same standard. If you're able to do that, I don't understand the push-up on the knees. I think like you should have a normal push-up and everything to do.
Well, that was back in the 80s.
Okay.
All right. So now in basic training, they don't do it that way anymore.
Okay.
All right, now, Sticks just brought up something in the chat room here. He says, what happens when a man has to cover a deployment because a woman is pregnant? Now, there are the pregnancy issues, and I understand that, you know, especially when you're putting up or when you're a military commander and you're trying to put numbers together and you have to depend on a certain amount of people, how do you get – this is another reason I'm on the fence. How do you get by those areas? Anybody have any ideas?
Yes, it is, I have no idea how to do that.
That's actually a really good point.
Yeah. Because I truly believe as a man, when you're going to have a woman, even if she's fit, you're going to have more tendency to want to protect her and things like that. That would be in your man nature to do that, I think.
Well, when it comes to the military, and I'm sure the other sir, the other one that's on the phone here, do you have a name or fictitious name, something?
Bill. You can call me Bill.
All right, Bill. you were in the Army. I mean, really, when it comes to the military, it's not a man covering for a woman. That's what they do anyway. They cover for each other as it is. Am I not correct?
Yeah, you absolutely cover for each. You know, it all depends on the situation, but yeah, you're basically. I mean, when you're fighting, you know, the reason why you're there and all that stuff just kind of like goes away, because now it's down to, you know, you're fighting for you and you're fighting for the person next to you. It doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman. You're fighting for your life, basically.
Right, and you have an objective that you have to achieve while doing that. So really, there's no difference. You know, if you're a woman in a foxhole, the man's going to try to, you know, show his valor. It's going to be the same for any soldier in the Army or the Marines anyway, because that's what they do. They protect each other. But the pregnancy thing, That's an interesting, I think that should be brought up too. I'm not sure where to go with this. As I said, I'm kind of on the fence about it. I'm more for, as I said, if my daughter comes up to me and says, I want to defend my way of life, I want to go, you know, what are you going to do about that?
Nothing you could do about it. She has the right to do that if she wants. But she should be qualified to do it.
Well, if she can meet the requirements, she is qualified.
She meets the requirement, that there's nothing you can do if you want
to do. Actually, I just seen a story. I don't know if it was yesterday. I think it was yesterday. And there was one woman. She was so good on basically the machine gun that she would get literally tapped for missions, meaning requested to go on certain missions because she was just so good at it. She was just skilled at it. She just so happened to be a female.
All right, let me ask a question. This is going to be out there question, and don't jump on me, you know, instantly. Just think about it for a second if you would. Let's say you're a woman who wants to perform one of the, you know, go into the military and things of that nature, and the military were to make a requirement where they would, and I don't want to use the word sterilize, but they would say, well, if your tubes ain't tied, you ain't getting in. And for the simple fact of, they have to count on, like what I said Lloyd was bringing up in the chat room, they have to count on numbers if something happens. I mean, would that be completely wrong to say
that's the
requirement?
No, because actually I ran into a situation, you know, I was a lot younger, and we went away, you know, we got to go home on Christmas break, and I met this Ukrainian girl. And, when I got back, I talked about it, and someone told our company commander, and I got called into his office. And he said, look, he said, if you want to continue seeing this woman.
We should get back in the habit of allowing men to be men.
Let me tell you what happened.
Why have a man when you don't allow him to be a man?
Because you're taught that you're less than if you let a man do something for you.
That's not true.
It's being emulated.
It's still wrong.
You and I think
I'm serious.
Wrong.
It's still wrong.
Walk outside this door and
What's wrong with being a lady doesn't mean I have to have my boobs out in the middle of the air. But still, women should be ladies, shouldn't we? And why can't we let men be men? What's wrong with that? Okay, guys,
I'm
back.
Nothing's
wrong with that. But in a society today, we're not going that direction. We don't want that. We want men that switch and women that walk like they're walking behind cattle.
I need to get a hold of my feminine side.
No.
I need to be in touch with my feminine side.
I'm just saying, guys. So I'll go to Hillary Clinton now. Did she answer the questions?
No.
Yes, she did.
She was asked a very poignant question.
Which was?
And I had to turn the TV off after this. She was asked, the statement was that there were guidelines intact that were not followed and not instituted. And now we have new guidelines, and what's to say that they're going to be followed? And I'm like, this is a great question. And then when she was done, he thanked her. And she never answered the question. She danced all around it. She says, well, there were mistakes made. And this is what we do today. We don't enforce the guidelines and rules we have today.
And we make some more.
The excuse for that is we make more.
Matt, what were you saying? He was there. I didn't hang up on him either. Matt, did you say something? 814?
No, I'm here. The name's Bill.
Hey, Bill, how are you? Where are you calling from?
Central Pennsylvania.
Hey, well, thanks for calling in again.
Women hear deer hunt.
Pardon me?
Women hear deer hunt.
They deer hunt.
Sure.
There's nothing wrong with women deer hunting. I don't have a problem with women deer hunting. I think that's a good thing. I don't have a problem with them going out. You know, we can do it anything. But as an occupation of going out the way we're doing is just not healthy. And, you know, I look at Hillary Clinton, and as I said, she's a very strong woman. And you can tell her strength by how she deals with Bill. That takes strength.
Now, are you talking about where she was, you know, making her statement and she kind of, you know, broke down a little bit? I mean, I didn't see that really as a weakness. I just seen that as her being human.
And I'll agree with you on that. You know, it's okay to break down. But she broke down on the campaign trail, too, remember?
No, I don't remember that.
You don't remember when she broke down and cried? When she was campaigning against Barack Obama?
I just remember when she talked with a southern accent.
No, she broke down and cried down in New Hampshire. Not New Hampshire. I can't remember now. But it was one of the news. Mm. North Carolina, North Dakota. Somewhere she broke down and cried during the campaign because she was like, you just don't understand. You know, Boehner cried. You're right. Boehner cried, and you know, because he said, you know, he was so happy to be Speaker of the House. And it's okay to tear. But I think that we are setting ourselves up for failure. Come on in, Jeff.
I think so. All these ladies need to go away.
That's what I'm saying. We need, and
I need to have more men available.
That's right. Like Miss J on what's it called? On the Idol show. We're going to make more men like the Idol.
Men.
Hey, Rick, how are you? No, we don't want them men.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. You know your girl broke down and cried during the campaign show because they caught her. They didn't think she was compassionate. They didn't think she had any emotion. They thought she was a robot.
So she cried. Remember, where did Hillary cry? Remember she cried on the campaign trail.
I watched it. She cried on the campaign trail. She was trying to make it seem like she was human.
That's true. She did. I saw that.
So she's still trying to make sure she thinks she's human, but she still didn't do what she needed to do. But yet, here we are, and women think we can do anything the same way a man does. What, Jeff?
Well, I think what that was they were, because Hillary is such a strong woman, they did not want her to be the woman. They didn't want her to be like a man, but in a woman's body, so they wanted to see the woman side of Hillary.
Hillary's not very strong whatsoever.
She's got major strength.
There's no strength.
She's got strength.
She has an upholding of the media, and that she's a great liar. That is what she has working for her. She's not strong. Because if she was strong, she would not have fallen apart when Barack Obama whipped her behind in the primaries.
We just got done saying the reason why she cried there is because she wanted to show her human side.
No, she really cried. She was getting beat, and she don't like losing. She's not very strong whatsoever. But I understand that people think that if you're a good liar, that you are strong. But usually that means that there's deep mental problems. Another talk show host made an observation that was very, very apropos that I heard, and they said that every man that was in her life made her lie for them. And it's true.
To Hillary?
Mm-hmm. Bill made her lie. Now Obama made her lie. I added that Vince Foster situation made her lie. All of this thing. That's what she is. She's a liar. She's not strong.
I know she could have found a better pair of glasses, but go ahead.
Well, she's doing that on purpose. She's trying to look very conservative presidential. And all the conservatives were scared to death of her yesterday.
Yes, that wasn't presidential law.
I'm surprised she didn't pull the Rose law firm. I don't recall. I don't remember.
She didn't recall. They asked her, when did you see that film? And she never answered the question.
This is the same lady that couldn't find the Rose law firm file.
Right. Yeah, and she couldn't find the other files that they took. Yeah, that they took out before, and they found them after 3 years. Was it 2 or 3 years?
Right there in the open.
Right there.
I'm just saying.
Right there on the sign.
What'd you say, Rick?
Wait. Now listen, you guys. I understand that she did not tell the truth, but let's. I mean, she played a great role yesterday, man. You got to give a girl her credit. She made that. She said everything she needed to say to make her look, in certain people's eyes, as good as she wanted to look.
Well, I don't think she looks presidential. I think she missed the mark on that. I don't think she made the impression that she wanted to make. Hold on, guys, I messed up. Vice President Biden's got his gun violence thing on. I forgot and passed it up. So go ahead.
Well, anyway, I'm just saying, you know, your girl, you guys already don't approve of her, period. All right, but now there are people before Barack Obama and still after Barack Obama that would have gladly voted for Hillary Clinton to be the president. So there are a remnant of people out there that still
That's
like
something that's ready to vote for her today.
Right now.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this, though. I came in, I was going to really just put on a play thing about women being on the front line.
So hold on, before you go, do you think women ought to be on the front line?
No, I do not.
Why?
For many, many, many reasons. First of all, women have babies and can have babies, and we cannot. Women don't have the physical strength that men have. They could have the mental strength, but they're built differently. They can definitely think quicker than men, so they could be of issue there. I think that it's okay for them to be pilots, things like that, because the hand-eye coordination thing, all of that. But when you talk about hand-to-hand combat, men aren't going to get raped too readily, but women will be when they're captured. They will add to whatever the mental problems of getting captured would be. They'll be easier to capture because they won't be able to run as fast or get out the way as fast. And if they get their foot caught, they'll be caught.
You're basically citing reasons for physical, just their gender.
Absolutely, because women are different,
right.
Not less.
But different.
Yeah,
are different,
different,
right?
And that's factual.
Yeah, that's a fact. I'm not saying that they're not capable.
Here's the only thing
right.
that I agree with that he said, and Styx brought this up earlier too, and it dealt with pregnancy. Everything else I think can be swept to the side because you have to meet a certain standard. Listen, when it comes to like rape and stuff, or what you're talking about, if men get captured, they go through tortures that are just as bad as rape. Sodomy is a big part of a torture of an enemy. They tend to sodomize men to get what they want. So really the rape issue isn't even one that you can bring up.
I don't know too much about that.
But my thing is the emotional aspect of that rape. Men, you guys deal with it differently than women do. You know, men go into the prison and get...
Oh, no, not when it comes
Trace,
to sodomy.
Stop, Trace. That's not
now,
true.
Y'all do.
No,
not when it comes
no.
To sodomy.
Okay, hold on. Wait a minute. Now, let's go back for a minute. Let's regress for a minute. Men go into prison, and if my understanding is there's many, many men that get raped in prison. That's what I hear. I ain't never been there, so I can't say. But I just say, they tell me that if you go in there, if you ain't a strong man, you'll come out and you will somehow
be a girly man.
You will have an experience that you never thought you'd have before. And
okay.
Men come out, they come out from the penitentiary, and they deal with it differently than we women when they, because women have their own issues. But women are different. We hold things in. We're incubators.
Tracy,
we hold.
Tracy, listen.
Yes.
I can't speak for every man, but I will make a general blanket statement. Any type of violation, be a male or female, and violation I mean that to the utmost of the definition of the word. It affects you mentally, emotionally, as well as physically.
But are you guys not different in how you handle it? Going back to see,
I can't say that we're different in any respect of the word, because any type of reaction is based off the violation. So I become that person, whether or not I become that person that violates somebody else, or whether or not I become that person that is what I was violated from, it doesn't matter. It's a reaction. It's a reaction.
In the male psyche, he can deal with something and say, till I can get out of here, I'll deal with this. But to a woman, she internalizes it much, much more because it means different to her than it does to him.
We're different.
Listen,
what I'm saying is we internalize it and we're incubators. We hold on to things forever.
we'll go back to a conversation, and you guys will look at us like, what in the world are you talking about? And here we go. And what I'm talking about even the violation. A man will push past and keep moving, and he will cast it completely away from him, and it will not be as severe emotionally.
I don't believe
no,
that.
No,
I don't believe
no.
that either.
Okay, I could be wrong.
If it happens as a child, that's one thing, but she's absolutely right. As adults, it's a little bit different for men than women.
Yeah,
and it is devastating, but it is dealable to the man because he knows he did it in reason of boom, during our country they tried to humiliate me. But in a woman, she's humiliated and she carries and builds that up and up and up and up.
But
and if you've ever known or met or talked to in depth to people that have experienced these things, you would understand what I'm saying.
There's one thing you're not taking into consideration, and that's, listen, when a woman gets raped, okay, and it happens to be in America or in her own personal area where she feels safe, yes, that argument is true. But when she's going off to war and these things are explained that could happen to her or it possibly will happen to her, you're putting it in a different mindset because the enemy is doing whatever he can to torture you.
Been there, done that, Doc. I know people that have gone through it in certain different ways because they've been allowing women in combat zones for quite a long time.
This is not new.
So they just haven't been on the total front lines, but they've been in support. And you've had women that were shot up in Iraq. What you're saying, I understand, but you're incorrect that it hasn't happened already, and it has, and they handle it differently. But that'd be something that we have to, get military records on now and see what those things are.
Because when you look at the suicide rate of men,
mm-hmm.
in the military now, you see a high right now. That's very, very high.
Yes,
the suicide rate. Mm-hmm. Now, I keep on saying this, men are logical, the majority of them. Even if you have an emotional element to you, you are more logical in your thinking, in your psyche. Women are emotional. I am a very logical person, but inside, no matter how logical I think I am, I still have a woman's emotion attached to me. And I deal with things differently.
Hey, but Chase, I hear that and I understand that and I would love to believe that situations can definitely cause a person to react differently to whatever. All I'm saying is mentally and emotionally, because we don't know what's going on in the psyche of an individual due to whatever traumatic event has happened in their life, we cannot assume that it has affected them differently. You don't know what's going on in that man's mind just because he's quiet and he's not talking about it. Or he doesn't seemingly show any signs of
Rick.
Neither one talk
Rick.
About it.
That's what I'm saying. But again, just as a woman, just as who women are across the board, women, you have one, you're married. We're all the same to some element, to some degree. Just like men, you know, you're different, but you're all the same to some degree.
Ask her what she would feel.
Yeah.
And she may not know or she may know, but the thing is, it'd be interesting for you to get from the one that you know the most how she feels about going to the front line, one, and number two, what in the event that they took you, tortured you, raped you, and et cetera, how would that make you feel? And,
well, and see,
I think you'll get
the same.
You can't discuss that with me. I'm saying you gotta go to yours and discuss that one, because
that's
going to be able to answer that question.
Right, but that's the same. I'm saying we're talking about a scenario like the gentleman pointed out, where nine times out of ten, we're not living in an area where we have armed guards walking the street and possibly coming into our homes and violating us and our privacy, and not just in our homes, but on our bodies. So that doesn't happen to us. But
it doesn't.
No, he's saying armed guards. He's not saying that it's something from an opposition.
If it doesn't, you're sadly mistaken. It might not happen here so much, but it does happen quite a bit throughout the United States, especially
in
communities
that
tan
darker. We're not in Afghanistan. We're not in Iraq.
No. You're in America, though, and in the inner cities in America, this happens.
Well, no, but I'm saying the police. The police are not.
The police in Athens.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, something's going on. More than
it's
we want
to.
These girls go to jail. Ask them what they had to do to survive in jail sometimes with the guards. You have to understand, you had a case just a couple years ago on one of the county sheriffs that did that. So, I mean, you have to understand that's the number one violation that's going to happen to the woman because she is the woman.
Well, actually, Stickers in there talking about, you know, they're having, you know, you put a bunch of men and a bunch of women together. I didn't skip Hillary for a minute. But you put men and women together on an aircraft carrier and women, like a Gilligan's Island for a 3-hour tour. And, you know, things happen and folks show up pregnant.
Folks get pregnant.
And you know what?
Fighting over who somebody belongs to, and don't forget you even got the lesbian and gay action right now that has an impact. So you know let's not do this. We're talking about war, and we're talking about skillfully doing it. We don't need to put women on the front line.
I know
it's not healthy.
Let me bring something up really quick because that was in my mind the pregnancy issue is in my mind. The biggest obstacle in the way of women serving in the military on the front lines. And I'm just bringing this up. I'm not saying that it should happen or shouldn't. I'm just bringing it up. What if it was a requirement, if you were a woman who wanted to serve on the front lines in the military, that you had to have your tubes tied so that none of this could happen because the military needs to depend on numbers. Yes.
Because you
pregnant.
Got jokes on it. Because listen, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. You didn't messed up, Matt. You
no,
mother
Matt, you got
Matt.
Jokes. I couldn't get on last night.
Matt.
It's voluntary.
Matt,
it's voluntary.
Matt. Listen here. We can't get folks to voluntarily not have a baby and they can't feed them.
Right.
Well, and you
wait a minute. Why wouldn't the men have to give vasectomies then?
Because they're not the ones carrying the baby, is my point.
Oh, they're the ones impregnating the women.
That's right.
You're right, but they're not the ones who would be affected if called up into service to go to war. They're not the ones who's going to be affected after they do that action to not be able to perform their duty.
Okay.
Have you heard of ACLU?
I know. It's this is really eating me up.
Have you met those people?
It really is.
Those people are not going to let you do that, even if it was the right thing to do.
It sounds Chinese. It really does, but... Ryan, I really am.
I mean, you know we can't do that.
Matt.
That's Rick's phone.
Who's whistling?
That feedback. That he got a cheap phone.
Don't go to Bluetooth now. Come on.
That ain't his Bluetooth. That's the phone.
No.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Yeah, Rick?
No, I was saying I ended up... turning my radio station, and I ended up turning the station off.
I'm just saying we are, and Hillary Clinton yesterday. I watched some of the clips because we were on the air, and I can't watch and talk at the same time. But I have to say, I was not impressed with her presentation.
It's terrible.
And the answers, because although she took responsibility for it, she didn't take responsibility for anything,
uh-uh.
And we still didn't get anything answered.
It something like this never reached my desk. How the heck embassy under fire didn't reach you? That should have been the first thing that happened come to you.
Communication is not a...
No, that's crazy. That's a lie. That was a lie.
There were drones in the air.
Drones in the air, and they had also cameras on the ground. She said, there was no film. You're a liar. You know there was a film, because Susan Rice said, I watched it happen on the monitor.
So
lie. We watched it happen, she said. She's a liar.
Jeff, chill.
I'm back.
We know that sometimes, but she listen, you got to understand, she had a, listen.
Liar.
Yes. She had a listen. She had a concussion.
Was in there?
No. She had.
Help! I've fallen and I can't testify.
She fell down. She had a concussion, and she had some brain stuff going on.
Blood clot.
After she lied.
The first time. Hey, but wait. Is it possible that a lot of this is just because you guys don't like her?
You
know,
see that, Rick? I'm trying to be good to the girl, and you listen to him.
Rick, don't give anybody the benefit of a doubt.
Judge a person on their character.
I go by what the truth is. Doggone well.
Come on now, you don't know. She told. Listen,
Susan Rice said they were watching it on the thing.
You already know.
The FBI and the CIA watched it happen.
You already know Susan Rice don't know nothing because she said it was about a movie.
Well, what I'm saying. Susan Rice, but the FBI claimed from the very beginning, and the general, the military general said, when we saw it, immediately we knew that this was not a mob attack or anything. It was very clear to us that this was a terrorist attack because it was so militaristic in style.
Yeah, it was about a movie.
All kind of mobs always have missiles and RPGs.
Listen, y'all. It was about a movie.
I can't wait to take my RPG down on the square.
Jeff, it was about a movie.
And protest.
It was about a movie. Anti-Islamic film.
That didn't exist.
That nobody knew about till this.
There was no movie.
And just like the guy said yesterday, the shame is that the only person that's been arrested or stopped for this is the guy that made the movie, and he had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I heard that.
There's no movie.
Yeah, that's all we
saw.
It ain't much of anything. It's not, I mean.
And that's what did you say, Matt? Because you know Justin here, and he can't control himself.
Now, I didn't actually see her give her testimony there, but I did hear that one of the lines, and if she said this, and let me know if she did or not, but if she said this, this is the most damning thing for Hillary Clinton, is the fact that the person told me that she made the statement, what does it, as far as Benghazi goes,
right.
What does it matter anyway now? Did she make that statement?
She got flustered with John McCain.
No, that was before John McCain.
Was it before?
Yes, it was. That was with the other guy she had to take.
Not Joe Wilson.
But I can't think of the guy who it was. But the person that made the comment, she said, what does it matter now? Four people are dead, and this, that, and other. And I said immediately, because you're responsible for those people being dead. You know, and she did not answer them when they asked for emergency help. And
that's
they had
the
people that could get there within 10 minutes. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying that's the damning statement right there. That's the worst part of the testimony. That's the part that puts the final nails in her coffin. When you make a statement
like
that and you're Secretary of State, that what does it matter that this happened, even though all the lies went flying around? That's what damns you.
She will have a hard time.
No, she won't, because these idiots don't care.
Women,
they don't care.
Who's going to hold
all my lies every day?
Now, we have no doubt they were terrorists. They were militants. They attacked us. They killed our people.
There you go.
Even today, there are questions being raised. Now, we have no doubt they were terrorists. They were militants. They attacked us. They killed our people. But what was going on and why they were doing what they were doing?
No.
We
were misled that there were supposedly protests, and then something sprang out of that, an assault sprang out of that. And that was easily ascertained that was not the fact.
But,
and the American people could have known that within days, and they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator. Now, honestly, I will do my best to answer your questions about this, but the fact is that people were trying in real time to get to the best information. The IC has a process, I understand, going with the other committees to explain how these talking points came out. But, you know, to be clear, it is, from my perspective, less important today, looking backwards, as to why these militants decided they did it than to find them and bring them to justice, and then maybe we'll figure out what was going on in the meantime.
Okay.
What was the date this took place on?
Yesterday.
Oh, her concern has to be
the date. No. The attack. Let me. It was what?
9/11.
9/11.
No. Really? 9/11.
9/11. 9/11 at the place.
Of course, and no extra security in Libya.
They're our friends. You don't need that. They're our friends. They are my friends.
He tried to say afterwards, you know, the people just came and protested because they were so upset, you know, that they killed this man that was trying to help.
They weren't upset. They gave
you more of the same.
Yeah, they were.
And then took on Sharia law on top of that. Dumb butts. Come on now.
Can I ask a question for you guys?
Yes.
And we've got a few minutes before I'm going to take a. You might as well sit down. You came in and just interrupted the show. Now you can come run out and talk about you got to go.
I was just going to come in as Frame and Frank.
I just want
to say, let them women go to the front. You know, I need to have more men to choose from. That's what's going on.
I have major issue, and when I look at what's going on, when are we really going to acknowledge that we have a problem? Honestly, you know, a lot of times when you get diagnosed with cancer or you get diagnosed with diabetes or any kind of disease, you don't really take it seriously because you think it's okay, and if you ignore it, it'll go away
for a while.
But after a while, you find out that you can't ignore it because it's here and it's here to stay, and you're going to have to do something about it. When are we going to acknowledge that we have to start doing something about what's going on here?
That's a broad statement or question.
I mean, seriously. I mean, do you realize we got Senator Clinton, we're talking about women, we got role reversal, we got same-sex marriage, we got abortions out the wahoo. We got everything going on. We got things happening, and
you know that because she did such a terrible job, that's why you had Panetta release this information today?
Oh, that was the political theater, so we have something else to talk about?
Not only that, remember the gentleman that said the other day that he told Obama he was – now, he's a newsman. He's supposed to be non-partisan.
Yeah, right.
He tells Obama, you need to destroy you need to annihilate the Republicans. Okay, now, they don't get on him, but when Boehner mentioned this yesterday, every news agency in the world is saying, Boehner says Obama wants to annihilate the Republicans, as if Boehner thought this up, made this up, and said it. I thought Boehner was stupid for saying it. When he knew that the newsman said it. It's true that everybody knows it. There's no doubt about it, and he's doing a good job. He's well on the way of annihilating them.
Do you think he is?
Yes, but they're falling right into it. I can't see this. How can you be so stupid as to repeat what the newsman said?
Matt, do you think the same thing?
Well, that's a typical leftist ploy. I mean, we saw the same thing. We saw the same thing with Romney when he was running for president, and he mentioned a news article that was written about Jeep going to China and being China would be the main manufacturer of Jeep. Romney mentioned the news article. He wasn't saying those words himself, but the left likes to take those words and combine
them
to make it seem like he said it. So yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all.
And gee, what's Chrysler doing right now with Jeep?
They're producing them in China.
Bait and switch. Hey, go ahead, Chicago.
They're gonna put you all back in chains.
Hey, they got half of them.
Well, you have to
That's
go back
Joe Biden.
They got 90% of us.
95.
I mean, we don't have. No. They don't have to put us in chains. No, I locked myself up already.
He only got 91 or 92% of the black vote this time.
But do we look at how weak we are?
But 92 million registered voters didn't vote.
Right.
That's right.
But I'm serious. Do you know how weak we are right now? You know, in North Korea is sitting back playing hide-and-go-seek.
They want a missile to reach it.
That's what I'm saying.
They're
sitting
in the net bothering the elephant.
I know that, but you know that. But, you know, they're sitting back playing hide
right.
and seek. Because,
well,
would you say
with,
Matt?
With North Korea, that's more than a gnat bothering an elephant, especially when the elephant tends to be more on the side of North Korea than North Korea is. I mean, you're talking about a long-range nuclear weapon that they want to start doing testing on that's going to take out California, which I almost really don't have a problem with. But, you know, if that happens, the U.S. government, you know, is going to stand up in very slight contradiction to it, just like they did on 9/11. Somehow it's going to be America's fault.
Let me get my nephew out of there first, and then
I'm okay with getting from California back to Mexico.
I'll pay for that ticket, Jeff. What'd you say?
I told Jeff I'd pay for his nephew's ticket to get him out of there.
I heard that.
I'm just saying, and I just think we're on a slippery slope. I do. And the more we slip, the more we slide. You know, so I'm slip sliding away.
And the Republicans are dumping soap on their own feet.
But no,
yes, they are.
But see, the Republicans are not. They're not.
They want to be politically
correct.
It's
not because they don't have the ability to be.
They don't like change. They are typical. And I don't take this offense because this might sound like a racist slur, but they are typical white men. What?
No,
they don't like change, and they don't want to do anything differently. And they have not realized, or they don't think they have to play with inside the rules.
No, they try to play with inside the rules.
Yeah, but the rules have changed, and they don't realize it, and they don't want to play inside the rules that have changed because they have changed.
They let these people get away with all this foolishness, repeating. They had a report on the news this morning about low information voters. That you have to continue to repeat something for them to get it. And that's why the left continues always, and they aim it at the low-information voters, and the low-information voters get a hold of this stuff. They get all excited, and they run out and vote. That's how you get loads of people to get on buses and vans to go vote and don't know what the heck you're voting about.
Did you see any of the interviews of the people that left the area to go to the inauguration?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I did.
I didn't see it. How did it go?
Low information voter.
And these are smart people. Many of them are very learned people. But they don't know nothing.
Well, you know, but you can't tell them anything either. And that,
no, that's the problem.
See, when you try
what you do is tell them a lie and tell it enough, and they believe it.
Because the lie has to be warm fuzzy.
The lie is warm fuzzy. The lie is those Republicans are no good, and we love you. And that is it.
And
they're going to give you this.
They're holding you down.
They're holding you back. They're going to stop you. They're going to stop you from voting. Somebody trying to stop them from voting.
But again, like I said, but you can't convince Republicans that people would actually believe that.
That's my point.
That's
why I said they're being stupid. And the thing is
stupid. I just call them.
They're stupid. This is being stupid. If they don't bring people in that are in contact with that side of things that they're trying to reach out to or to beat, then they're going to be extra stupid, and they won't win again 4 years.
That's what I said about the white male. When I said about change, because they think they know it. And
males are also very liberal.
No, what I'm saying that is, when you look at Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
when you look at Mitt Romney,
mm-hmm.
they know everything. Ask them, they'll tell you.
Mitt Romney doesn't act like that.
They know everything.
Well, I didn't
see
him at all.
So when they know everything and you go to tell them, listen, you need to talk to the evangelical vote because you need to shut up about birthers because you've taken it too far now. And you need to quit talking. You need to go over and talk to the evangelical vote because the evangelical vote, I know you're a Mormon and you think that you, just because they let you on TBN, you're going to be cool, but you're not. So you need to talk to them and they tell you, well, you don't understand. I know this, and we'll be okay.
The handlers are giving bad advice. You're right.
And so when you go to and you say,
and they're listening to their handlers.
That's what I'm saying.
But their handlers don't know. And when somebody comes in the room and says, "You need to know this," and they say, "Oh no, we don't have that problem because I know what I'm doing," then
young,
you step back.
Young snotty-nosed punk kids are advising. And saying that they're great advisors, this, that, and the other. But the thing is,
so why do you believe young Snotty goes Snyder?
Because they think that they just got this great education. They're the best. Education in school don't do anything but prove that you have learned how to learn. But if you don't get the right information in the right situation, you're not going to be effective.
So why don't they know that?
Learning, they're being indoctrinated.
So why don't they?
Well, a lot of them are being indoctrinated, but you're talking about those that are on the
right.
The
so my
right.
question is, why don't they know that? And the reason why I call them white males, because we call this a white man's world. And the white man's world, the white man's world is the one who does it his way, and he's been able to say anything, do anything, and not actually change anything. But now the rules have changed
when you
put a black man in office.
Well, you can't say, a white man can't say anything, because Romney said that 47% and it killed him.
No,
well,
but
the white man on the right can't say anything.
Oh, okay.
The one on the left
can say
whatever
the heck he
wants to say.
But he knows how to say it to where he needs to say it, so he can actually go into a room and tell y'all in a very, very unethical way, or should I say a non-politically correct way, he can say, they're going to put y'all back in chains, and y'all going to say, yes, they're going to put us back in chains, I'm with you.
Church,
yep. Yeah. Hey, now tell me this. Did you guys hear about two things? Two things happened, I'm assuming, in the last couple of days, possibly last couple of hours. One thing, there was a flyer being sent out, and I don't know if you talked about this, a flyer being sent out in a suburban Atlanta area for a Ku Klux Klan meeting and anyone that wanted to join a Ku Klux Klan. That's the one thing that happened. The other thing that happened was somewhere down south, I don't know where down south, there was supposed to be a lot of Republicans meeting, a lot of Republicans in key positions meeting to figure out how to get the black vote. But they were meeting on a what used to be an old plantation slavery land. Now what happened? What's going on?
That's what we're saying.
Okay, hold on. This is what I'm saying. I love that you brought this up. Now, this is what I'm saying, y'all. Instead of them calling, you know, instead of them calling somebody and saying,
Tracy and friends,
you know, calling Tracy, calling Jeff, calling Ken, calling Michael, calling somebody and saying, listen, we get ready to do this rally, we need to know something. And then listening when they say, well, no, you don't want to have it there. That would not be a good place. They go, but that's my cousins. Just like when, what was his name when he had the rock?
Down in Texas.
He had nobody around there so he could say that could go in and cleanse his place. You know, sometimes you got to go clean your house up before company comes.
They had changed the name of it 40 years ago,
No, they didn't change it. They flipped it over.
No, they changed the name of the place 30 years ago because it was named Nigger Rock.
The Rock was still there.
The Rock was painted over.
They didn't get rid of the Rock.
They painted over the Rock in 1970.
So why didn't they get rid of the Rock?
Why should they get rid of the Rock?
They should have caught. Like they don't have the money to move the Rock?
No, I wouldn't move the Rock. I'd paint over it, too.
When you run with office, you don't paint over the Rock.
Too late.
The Rock.
Well, it was there for years, so I mean.
When you don't. You don't.
And
when you're running for president, you do not paint over the Rock.
I hear what you're
saying.
You
move the Rock.
No, you just don't go to that place.
I mean, realistically, ain't nobody riding around with a Dukes of Hazzard Confederate flag car in Youngstown.
Oh, yes, they are. I don't know. What in the world? Where in the world do you live?
I haven't seen one up on Rim.
On the south side of Youngstown? Who sees that on the south side, the north side, or the east side of Youngstown?
All the time.
Saw it down
in Campbell. I'm going to call you each time I see one, okay?
No. I'll tell you what.
I'll take a picture of it.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, if you look around, you'll see a whole bunch of red trucks with a Confederate flag in the back window.
I actually saw a bumper sticker on a car, on a truck in Struthers that said, I'm the whitey that's holding you down. And it had a rebel flag on it.
Well, I tell you what, the Klan's not winning because you're killing yourself. You're hanging yourself. Y'all going to prison. Y'all killing up each other. Y'all black male unemployment rate is at 30%. So this is a Klansman's dream.
Sure is.
I mean, you got a point there.
One guy had a cartoon that said, we haven't had to kill an N-word for the last 40 years.
I forgot to bring the article again that said if you wanted to destroy the black family, you couldn't have done a better job than the education system. And it's Thomas Sowell It was an
absolutely.
I got, forgot to bring it again.
Absolutely. The question is, why won't you hear it?
Because Thomas Saul said it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He's a Republican. He's a conservative.
He's a conservative.
He's an Uncle Tom.
Yes.
Automatically.
I forgot about that.
Black conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so when do we wake up and say, you know what, we're going to quit being foolish?
Don't you think that people are starting to wake up?
No.
Not the right people.
No.
Not enough.
No. Because right now, if you come out and say anything, I mean, whether it be about, like I said, about women. Because the feminist movement has destroyed this country.
Absolutely.
But that's a whole other conversation. Maybe we'll do that a little bit tomorrow. But the feminist movement has definitely destroyed and eroded the sanctity of this country.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's destroyed the home. When you look at Benghazi, when you look at our foreign policy, if you go to Facebook pages and see what people post, if you see what people write, you know, when you look at, you know even President Obama has not been good for this country. And that's hard to say.
But you can't convince people of that.
I know that. But I'm saying, I'm not even talking about his policies. I'm just talking about him being there and how he has not brought us together, but he has made sure that he has kept us apart.
But and that's by
the way. Well, I think the thing with the with gun control, right? I'm going to make a prediction that the Senate is going to lose at least 6 seats. Taking a vote or not, doesn't matter. Okay, I think they really underestimated, you know, basically the country's reaction to this. And I'll give you an example. I actually called the NRA today because I'm like, well, you know, where's my card? You know, already. You know, you guys sent me something to renew. I just renewed, and they're like, oh, it's going to take like 8 weeks because you know we just signed up 500,000 members this month.
They're inundated.
Yeah, they are.
You know,
I say it's not even going to pass.
They're not even going to vote on it.
They may vote on it, but it's not going to pass if they do.
There's too many Southern Democrats that won't vote for it.
Right, and see, you have Harry Reid is not going to vote for it because Harry Reid was endorsed by the NRA. Don't forget.
So was Tim Ryan.
Well, Tim Ryan, I don't know if Tim Ryan's going to vote for it.
Tim Ryan can vote for it. There we go back to that safe seat.
Well, yeah, he's safe because he got people
who's
here that
against
is, that we must vote for Tim Ryan.
I mean, that's
it's a wrap. It's a wrap.
And this is what I'm saying when I talk about the Mahoning Valley and how dangerous it is here.
Dangerous.
Because of he can go and vote for it because it's a safe seat,
mm-hmm.
and you should never let anybody be that safe. That's an elected official.
No, but
Tracy, can I ask you a question, Tracy?
Yeah.
How many Mahoning Valleys are there across the country that are making up what we don't want to happen in the United States?
Tons. They're all the inner cities.
Oh, okay. So then how do you really think we're going to go and stand up against what's not going to happen?
Because the majority of your people live inside of the major cities in the country. But when you really look at the cross-section of people across the country, you'll find that it's mostly conservative. And you cannot interject inside a riot every election to get them out to vote unless it's a black face on the front and saying that you're going to put them in chains.
And the only place that you're going to get a representative out of this next time is people the only place you're going to get black representatives is out of where blacks are plentiful. You're not going to get them out of those other areas where it was all the way red with little blot of blue and he won the whole state because that little blot of blue.
Right.
You have to understand it's not going to happen.
But you have to incite something to motivate them to get them to the polls to vote.
The inner city people.
And you're going to have a hard time crying wolf twice.
They're not going to go and vote.
Oh, you just made me think about getting the vote out, and this is a whole other thing. Nagin. See, he was in the news.
Who?
School bus Nagin.
Ray Nagin?
Yeah, school bus Nagin.
Yeah,
what did
he do?
What did he do now?
He's not being sued. He's being indicted.
Indicted on
indicted, right. Yes, he's being indicted, yes.
Down in New Orleans.
He's being accused of taking stuff under the table to contractors to rebuild New Orleans.
Ain't that nothing? We're going to stay at Chocolate City. We're going to do this. And they showed him who he was. If you don't know in the political process here in America that you're still black,
you know what, Jeff? You know, I have to say this. If we would quit being black,
that way, yeah, you're right.
And quit and start being American,
when it comes to the electoral process, we wouldn't have to worry about our black as much.
Tracy,
well, I agree.
What was the first thing I said to you when we met?
I don't remember. Come on now. That's to me shows
you say things that if I said, I'd be a racist.
That's right. That's true. But I'm just saying. I mean, we need. I mean, I know we're
but
black.
I mean, it's the
we're
tourism.
Black, and it's okay. And I'm a proud black African American female who lives in the Mahoning Valley of the state of Ohio, and it's a good thing. But if we quit being black and we start being American when it comes to our political processes, we would advance ourselves so we don't have to worry about being black. We can just be who we are.
True enough.
And that's why
this show
in particular is so important, because it gets rid of that political correctness and it allows people to vent as they see fit. I mean, as I said, I'm a white guy and I've been called. What?
You're white?
Right. Crazy.
Matt, you're not white, are you?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me rub off this paint. But yeah. Anyway.
I see, Stanley's white. You're black, right?
No, Stanley's black, I thought.
No, Stanley's white.
Stanley ain't black.
Stanley's
white.
Stanley ain't black. Stanley is one of them Arabs that possibly going to blow up one of these places around here.
Hey, they said Sharpton showed up late after the inaugural. I guess he got caught up at the salon.
No, he didn't. I saw him when he walked in. No, he didn't.
He didn't get caught up at the salon.
No, but I tell you what he did do. I saw him on at the eve. Listen, hold on. You got to understand. I don't call Jeff on the phone.
No,
I'm not a phone talker. I don't get on. I don't watch TV and hold the phone. I saw Reverend Jesse Jackson preaching at some church on the inaugural, and I had to call Jeff on the phone and say, "Find the Word Network. You got to see this." And I saw them folks in there, and I call them something else.
There was
already
a circus like
and
you wouldn't believe.
I saw them tell so many lies and misinform so many people intentionally. I make mistakes just based on being stupid. They made these mistakes just based on being disingenuous to the manufacturer a lie.
Like
what
the,
was
like
that
the leader
meeting
Hillary?
You posted on my Facebook that black gentleman was upset that Obama used Martin Luther King's Bible?
Are there a couple of us? Cornel West.
Cornel, yes.
Oh, man. I wanted to see that.
You haven't seen it?
It's
on Facebook.
You need to watch that. Cornel,
yeah, I will.
Cornel West really. He went on it. Yes, on YouTube. I'll get it to you, Rick.
He went ballistic.
Cornel would have been fine for the first inauguration. He would have been fine with it.
Actually, no. He didn't. Well, he was halfway with him.
He wasn't all the way there. He was, let's give him a chance.
Right.
And about 6 months into the chance, Cornell and
Tavis
started letting loose.
Yeah.
And they got excommunicated.
And right now, I'm watching Best Friends fall down and not get up because of it.
That's right.
Because Tavis and Tom Joyner were bosom buddies. I thought they had a little thing going on, and now they got a divorce.
Yeah, they like each other now.
No. Tom Joyner wrote and said that Tavis wasn't nothing but an opportunist, and he was doing it on the back of Barack Obama. We'll be back here tomorrow. Jeff, you'll be with me tomorrow.
I'll be here.
We'll see you. God bless you. Have a good day, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austintown designs a personal exercise program for your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their...
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Not every...